welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Give us a call at 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Ozzy's going to review Ice Age. Saw him over the weekend. He brought over a lobster and shrimp cheese casserole with tortillas in it, shockingly enough. My wife said to me last night when I was picking around the lobster and the shrimp, said, you've known Ozzy for 16 years. Doesn't know you don't really like lobster and shrimp that much? And I said, nah. And that's the beauty of men. 16 years I've known Ozzy. Never.
Yeah, that's a pretty big leap to expect your friends to know that. I don't think most people's fathers know what they eat, right? Well, no. I know yours. Your old man doesn't, right?
No, he doesn't know what country I eat in. No. But it is a good thing about being a Corolla, as I was sort of putzing around. I spent the entire day just sort of in my underpants. A nice leisurely day. Everyone else ran around, was going to make and be and, shave and put a jacket on and go carve up a ham and stuff. And I just putzed around in my sweatpants the entire day thinking, you know, the sort of non-traditional, loosely formed family, the kind of laissez-faire approach to parenting and in general and family that my family had. It's a little rough, you know, when you're 9 and you're not getting what you want for Christmas, but as an adult, it never stops paying dividends. I recommend it highly.
So you're saying benign neglect.
Bite the bullet for the first, it's not even really the first 18 years, because the first 5 years, you don't really even notice. And all you got to do is make it to 18 or 19. Now, you're not going to college, because no one's going to be paying for that, and you'll not be driving a car or anything. But if you can get your ass together somewhere around 18 and get out of the house, you got to pay the fiddler for like 13, 14 years, but then you're scot-free.
No obligations.
No cards. You don't have to call anybody. I didn't talk to a family member yesterday, and there's no hard feelings. Nobody calls anyone around any holiday, and there's nothing to do. You're good. You're off.
That is nice, I suppose.
Yes. You guys... Well, what you guys do is you do a nice, you do a stint in a nice prison, but then you're perpetually on parole. You're on parole for the rest of your life. If you decide to get married, you find the woman you want to marry, you sure as hell better tell mom and dad soon. They better not find out. You can't sit on, you can't get engaged and then sit on it for a year. You can't get a promotion and not do it. Holidays come around, you have to get on an airplane half the time and go see people.
It's like the mob. It's like when you ask the mob, you go to the Godfather. Godfather, please, I need your help with this. You know, please lean on the local officials.
Right.
And then maybe that works out for you, but one day I may call on you for a favor.
Right.
You're constantly in their service.
Right.
We need you to come out for the Passover holiday.
Right. Whereas I'm more I'm more an employee of the government. There's no ring to kiss. You don't even know who your boss is.
You're out of there.
I don't care. I don't care if stuff, you know, there's 5 containers of liquid paper wide open on your desk. You're out. You don't even. I'll oftentimes do that when I used to work for the government. Open copious amounts of liquid paper and just leave them open and leave for a long weekend. That's right. Teresa Strasser, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I saw you on some VH1 fashion dishing show, I think, yesterday.
How was I?
You were good.
Thanks.
If you watch VH, I actually saw myself on it too. That was E. Yeah, I think they're doing Talk Soup. I've realized if you watch enough E or VH1 on the weekend, eventually you'll see everyone you've ever met. Because that's what happens to me. You watch it long enough and you go, oh, there's that dude. I met that guy in the green room at Kimmel. I didn't even know he was a comedian. People, you'll see your neighbor standing up there. You'll see deceased family members. Eventually, everyone you know, you have to watch over the weekend. You don't watch E or VH1 at 8:30, 9 o'clock on a Thursday night. You watch Sunday. Some sort of marathon will come on Saturday, Sunday. One of those weekend things, eventually, everyone you've ever met in your life will eventually pop up.
Yeah.
That's how it works.
It's a who's who of guys I've dated also. Watch and go, oh, I used to date that comedian. That went badly.
Who's the most famous person you've dated?
Well, wow. I've lived in L.A. 7 years, and the most famous person I've dated... Mm-hmm. It couldn't be less impressive.
Well, go ahead and say, and we'll be the judge.
Oh, no.
Yeah. Come on, it'll be funny.
Oh, God, no.
It'll be funny.
You know the guy that isn't Ryan Seacrest, but used to be American Idol?
Yeah, his partner's gay partner at the first season, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I dated him for a year.
Wow.
Yeah.
Now, did you date him during the American Idol?
No.
Before?
No. Yeah, when he was like a struggling stand-up comedian.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, you could probably get your hooks back into him now, right?
Yeah.
I don't know what he's doing.
I think middling at various comedy clubs.
Doing the middle. Yeah, I'm amazed. It always makes me feel good about my own career when I see the just cavalcade of celebrities. I'm holding my fingers up, but celebrities, because obviously somebody has to have some notoriety, otherwise they wouldn't ask them to comment on J-Lo's fashion disaster, you know? But it always says comedian, actor, comedian, writer, actor, actor, writer, comedian, whatever. And I look at the screen and I go, I've never seen that face in my life. And then it makes me feel good because I think, well, I must be doing something.
Yeah, they are scraping the bottom of the barrel. When I'm a celebrity guest on anything, I just think this thing's going down.
But I recognized you.
Because I've been on your show.
If it was two weekends before, I would have went, wow, what are they doing? Yeah, so there's my theory. Everyone watch, I'm telling you, watch. This is what I would say if I was E, you know, E or VH1. I would say, look, and we're not going to, you know, let's face it, we're not going to get A-list celebrities on this network. We got basic cable money, deep cable money. We don't have money to pay these people off. You're not going to see your Jennifer Anistons on here and the rest of the friends. You may see yourself. You may see a neighbor. You may see a deceased loved one. Keep watching. We'll find out. There's a good thing. And America just keeps watching. See if old Hank down the road pops up at any time soon. Maybe gym coach from high school.
I'd like to reach a station. I wish I could be a celebrity, and here's why. No, I don't have to be a big celebrity. Just small and just enough so I could do stuff like play Match Game like you got to do last week.
Yeah.
I'd like to be one of those people. Or, even better, bring back Pyramid.
I did Pyramid.
One of those people.
I did Pyramid with Steve Sharippa. I competed against him. I was a celebrity. In fact, I remember telling my dad, I'm going on the show The Pyramid, and it's a regular person and a celebrity, and you compete. And he asked me, who's your celebrity?
Wow. Really?
Yeah, I was like, Dad, I'm the...
Wow. Wow. Your dad and my dad should lunch.
I think they have some things in common.
Yeah, I did. You know, my grandfather, who's the good one, he died. He died about 7-8 years ago. But things, he'd seen me just sort of, he was Jewish. He's not my blood grandfather. He's my step grandfather, but he raised me since, he was around 20 years before I came around. He's the only Jew in the family. Hence, he's the only one that ever, you know, packed a lunch or cooked a dinner or said, take a sweater kind of thing. You know, he had that thing. He was a regular person. He was an outsider and he didn't fit in with any of the other Corollas because he was like, he would have been like the employee that was working for the DMV that actually wanted to get something done. And the rest of the employees would have been going, listen, sit down. You're making us all look bad. And he's like, I'm sorry. I'm getting paid. I'm going to work. He had that kind of attitude. So again, he was ostracized by the rest of the group that didn't want to cook or clean or do anything like that. But he was a good guy. And he saw me go through the whole construction thing and carpet cleaning and all that. And he was sort of old school Hungarian. He never really got on board with the whole comedy and whatever. And then later on, since nobody had cable, nobody had any idea what I ever did and would always be surprised if someone would stop me and, want to take a picture or something. Nothing ever quite, you know, the guy was 90. He was born in Budapest and he didn't have cable. So he had no context. All he knew is I would pull up in a new car and say things like, no, I'm not living in the apartment anymore. I bought a house. And I think he thought I just dealt blow. I would tell him about cable and he would sort of tune out about halfway into it. If you don't have cable, then cable doesn't exist. It's explaining, you know, once in a while someone tries to explain a band to you that's huge in South and Central America. Jaguares. They sell out soccer stadiums. Okay. You tune. Oh no, there's 250,000 people at one of their concerts. They're international superstars. They can't walk down the street. Okay. Hey, I got a new CD over here. We're going to listen to Best of Journey. You know what I mean? It doesn't exist. You don't know who they are. You've never been there. You don't speak Spanish. You've not gone to a concert. I think that's the way people sort of looked at cable before they had cable. It just didn't exist. They understand there's people who do shows, but who cares? So my grandpa was that way. at some point, they asked me to do Hollywood Squares, the Hollywood Squares.
That's
and
big.
He watched Hollywood Squares religiously. He loved the Hollywood Squares. Old people sit in and watch game shows. And my grandfather from, you know, 1974 to present day, or whatever it was, 1995, 98 at the time, he just watched Hollywood Squares. So when I told him I was going to be on Hollywood Squares, you know.
You'd arrive.
Yeah, it arrived. Yeah. Except for it didn't mean that, it didn't mean anything then, which was weird. Like, he just sort of went, eh. Huh. Yeah.
Now, by the way, before you take this call, if I'm not mistaken, mm-hmm. prepare to be devastated.
Really?
What? Yes, I ran into a mutual friend of ours who's got a bombshell for you that is not going to make Ace happy from one of his many cable shows.
Mm. Uh-oh. Now, who is it? Well, wait a minute. Am I going to be devastated by this call?
Yes.
Oh, really?
No.
I'm talking.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Well, good. Then we have to get Stephen Green on the phone, our mm-hmm. mutual friend, because he's got a bombshell for you that you're not going to be happy.
Oh, really?
About. Yes.
That has to do with my TLC program?
Correct.
My former TLC program?
Yes.
Now, what's the bombshell?
I'm not telling you.
You have
to wait and find out. Well, I'm not going to be the bearer of bad news.
Stephen was the electrician on the TLC program. Nikki?
Yes. Yeah.
You have some baby names for us?
Let me take your speaker real quick.
Thank you.
Okay, I've been trying to get a hold of you for like a week and a half. Anyways, how about Shanika and Shakar? They meet Shakar's warrior and Shanika's princess.
Yeah, warrior's tough though when you're asking the warrior to go ahead and supersize that order. You know, that's the part I always have a problem with. When you see the guy and he's mopping up around the urinal at the bathroom and you ask him what his name is and he says his name is Shadura. And you're like, oh, what does that mean? It means noble warrior. Okay, because I got a little whiz. I got a little Peyronie's disease, and I sometimes when I whiz, I'll miss the urinal. So
sadly ironic.
Should I call you? No, you're a proud warrior. Point is there's some whiz on the floor. Could you go ahead and get that?
It's a war against whiz.
Yeah. You've declared a fatwa against number one.
It's like Angelina Jolie. Those two names sound like she's declared that she may name her child, her unborn child, a Namibian name.
Yes.
Traditional Namibian name, because that's where she's having the baby.
Sure.
Maybe you could do the same. Namibian twins.
Yeah, all I'm saying is do not go with the proud. First off, you know, you go that proud warrior thing, and there's no really warrior gigs anymore, you know? Mm. I would say if you're going to name your kid after, you know, a proud whatever, plumber, electrician, school teacher, CEO, make sure there's a gig when there's a proud whatever. Otherwise, your kid can't take the warrior gig, hence he's going to work at Wendy's. Do you know what I'm saying?
Right, proud follow, right. Elder care assistant.
Yeah, senior care assistant. Yeah, whatever it is. But it's always proud warrior. There's no warrior gig, so you're cleaning up my whiz. And then it gets sadder, even with the princess, the noble princess, and she's, you know, waiting in the cheese line down in South Central. It's not a great plan. You know what you do? Name your kid No Count Loser, and then have him rise above that. All they have to do is work That's 20 right. hours a week, and they've conquered that name.
There you go.
All right. I did decide while I was watching CNN this morning that Hollywood would be the middle name of the son.
I like it.
Yeah, it's good.
I like it.
Whatever, awesome. Hollywood works, right?
Yeah.
What's wrong with Hollywood?
Yeah.
It's cool. It's kind of got a Rat Pack vibe to it.
Yes. Let's see. Here's initials no one should ever have. JG?
No, it's JT. Good morning, Adam.
All right. Well, it's written JG. Which almost doesn't leave your mouth. Go ahead, JT.
yeah, I had a name for your son. It's perfect.
Mm-hmm.
It's Rock, because Rockarola goes perfect together.
Oh, okay. It's tough when you have to explain, like, this is the best because it's good. You know what I mean? Usually when you say because, we're waiting for something.
Well, Rockarola.
Yeah. Rockarola. All right. Rock.
Does sound good.
Rockarola. Yeah, Rockarola does sound good. Thanks, JT.
Rock Hollywood?
But you really, yeah, no, for future no callers, I guess it's not essential that the two names go together, but it is nice, right? Since they're going to be a pair, yes, Ace? Mm-hmm. Do you want them to be? Are you trying to encourage individuality with these children, or do you like the idea of them being a pair, you know, that they're
individual, either way, whatever works. I talked to my mom on a Friday and had a weird name revelation. First, I found out, my mom's, 71, I found out that her name was changed to Nancy Lee at some point. My mom was taken away from her mom by like child protective, whatever, and raised by her grandparents until she was 10. She didn't know they weren't her parents. And then at some point found out that these weren't her parents. This is why I kind of let her off the hook in the mothering department.
She did the best she could.
Well, she could have done better. But point is her, we'll never know. Her compass is spinning around a little bit. Then got raised by my grandmother, who she thought was her aunt, like a friend of the family or something later on. Meanwhile, her name got changed. So she changed her name and then went back and then went back again. But the point is the saddest part is I said to her, because she brought the whole name thing up somehow, I said, well, why don't I have a middle name? I mean, never really thought about it. I never asked my mom, what's the deal? I was surprised to find out as I ventured out into society, everybody had a middle name practically but me. So I said, why no middle name? And she said, I don't know. And I thought, wow, that's the worst news I could ever hear.
Because that's just the height of laziness.
Yeah. Now, I thought you were going to say, well, your grandfather had no middle name, and that's just the way or originally it was Axe, but then your father said, no, it was really the worst. It's the worst answer. People don't realize this, you know, like if you like a girl and you say, how come you never call anymore? You'd rather she should go, you're a pig, and I can't stand looking at you anymore, Dave Damshek, then go, eh, I don't know. I never thought about it. that I don't know, just that is, it's worse
what
than
an
it,
outrage. That's crazy.
Is it?
Yes, it's the same. I mean, we've argued about what's the laziest deed one can commit. I say it's leaving the microwave door open after you've removed your food, so you can't close the door. You say closing the lid on the ketchup bottle on the flip top.
The flip.
Either way, those are neck and neck.
Right.
This may trump both. The mother, the nurse comes into the after having you, Mrs. Carolla. What name shall I put on there? Adam. A middle name, would you like? Nah, we'll quit there. I don't want to think about it.
She could have panicked and named me Bedpan or Catheter or something.
Right, something
nearby. Let's be, yeah. We dodged that bullet. Yes, I was disappointed and shocked when she just said, I guess we never just didn't.
Slipped our minds.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's how much they've gotten done. We'll take ourselves a quick break. Frank Vincent from The Sopranos.
Another good one last night.
Thank God I watch because, if he called in every Monday morning to recap a show that he was on Sunday night and I didn't watch, it would be uncomfortable. But it is a labor of love watching that every Sunday night. So we'll talk to Frank. Another good one last night. Talk to him in a minute.
Woke up this morning, got yourself a gun. Your mama always said you'd be the chosen one. She said, one in a million, you got to be in the shine.
That's right. This is the Sopranos theme song. Always a little controversy around the Carolla house because I end up wasting more time with the TiVo because I fast forward. I don't like the Sopranos song. I think people like it because they like the show and they associate it with that. But I think if you wouldn't sit around and listen to it at home. Maybe you wouldn't sit around and listen to the Jetsons theme either, but I would.
Well, I declared just last night, I said this is the best thing about TiVo, is that you can just buzz right through the themes. Even if you like it, it's like, all right, I've heard it enough. I've seen it enough.
Yeah, that's what it is. I've seen it 185 times, and I don't like, it's not a bad song, but I don't love it so much that I need, and plus I'm chomping at the bit.
Yeah.
I want to get to it. I want to rip the pasty off the stripper. That's what I'm trying to do. So I always hit the triple fast forward. Then, of course, it goes forward too much. And my wife, who is like, it's like living with a superstitious native. Not too far! As if we'll never recover it. You know, like she doesn't realize I can go back. She'll bellow. That's the fun thing about the TiVo. Get the TiVo and just go ahead and go forward. You can go forward as far as you want. You can go back. You can go all the way forward to the beginning and start over again. But if you're sitting next to someone who's a fan of whatever it is, my wife will start. She'll go off like an air raid siren as soon as he pulls up the drive. Whoa, 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 whoa! I'm always like, I'm sitting right next. You just scared the dog. You scared me. And of course, one flip of the thumb and we're right back. So I always do that thing where I hit it. Oh, okay. And I go back. Now I've gone back too far. Now he's just leaving the airport in his SUV. So now it's fast forward again, which we repeat the scenario three or four times. Eventually, I dial it in. So I stop it just as he's getting out of his car in the driveway of his house. I realized that took 40 minutes. Now, the song, I was trying to eliminate the 46 seconds of the song. That's now translating to 21, 22 minutes and a fist fight between me and my wife. So, I don't know. The TiVo's good, but if you get trigger happy with the TiVo, you will spend more time in forward, reverse, catch yourself up, and cue yourself mode than the actual 20 seconds you're trying to get past. Frank Vincent?
Yes, sir.
Good to talk to you.
Well, you got troubles with that show trying to get it on TiVo.
Yes, I do.
Holy mackerel.
Frank is Phil Leotardo, who well, we have a few clips from last night's show. Let's hear one of them.
Okay.
There's been confirmation through the grapevine. Vito was seen in a car with a man. I don't want to get graphic beyond that. The idea of it repulses me so much.
So much. Now, that's obviously Frank Vincent speaking to the wife of Gay Vito, having to break the news. Is so much in the script, or do you just tack that on the end?
No, you don't tack.
There's no tacking.
No tacking here. it's all on the paper.
It's a good point because I bring it up. No, it's interesting. I realize how pompous that sounds, but in today's sitcoms and in even today's dramas, there's all this bragging. It's not written. You know what I mean? It's all improvised. Or we just get this, you know, it's an hour-long show. The script is 4 pages. It's written on a cocktail napkin.
Right.
And all this bragging. First off, I don't like watching sitcoms that aren't written. I don't like people bragging they're not doing their job.
Right, right.
But then secondly, The Sopranos, no room for that. It's all in the script.
All on the paper, man. You have to cross the T's and dot the I's.
I like that.
If you want to change a word, the writer is on the script, on the set every minute.
Mm-hmm.
Whoever wrote that set episode, or if he's not there, then the executive writer is there.
So there's a chain of command. If you feel like something needs to be fixed or you want to modify something, you have to talk to somebody.
Say, hold on, I'll get back to you in a few minutes. And then did you tell the director, I like to change, but he's okay, just a minute. And then he'll go to, and the writer will come out and say, what's on your mind, Frank? Say, well, you know, I don't want to say Larry or whatever. It's just, what do you want to say? I said, well, man, maybe I'll say, all right, just that one word, though. Don't change too much. Just that one word, and that's how we'll do it. Okay.
And how many, like, do you remember how many takes you did for that one scene?
Do I remember it now?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
It's like probably no more than 5, but could be 3.
And does, in terms of... Is there a guy, a member, who is hip to the language of the mob? I know everybody is, but I mean, is there a technical consultant who would say, here's what these guys would say if they found someone was gay in their ranks, or here's what they would call them? Do you know what I mean?
I think all that work is done in the writer's room.
Right.
When it comes to us, that's it. We have a sit down the first time the script comes out. We all sit around a table and read it. Wow. And then he makes some notes after the actors read it. We don't act it; we just read it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then we go back, and then he says, "You might get some changes and they might fax you a couple of pages. Say this word's going to be changed for that word, whatever." And so, that's what you work with.
So Gay Vito is basically on the lam at this point, but it's unclear whether he's going to call for his family, kill himself, or just sort of. Start a new
Seemed
life.
Seemed to be liking this new life.
Yeah, he's antiquing.
Yeah. He looks like he's got a little short order chef in him or something.
Yeah.
Well,
the guy with the handlebar mustache. The whole town is gay, by the way.
Yeah.
Even the bed and breakfast lady seemed like a bull dyke to me.
Well, yeah. he found heaven, I guess.
You know, there's one message I'd like to get out to all the people that are listening. If they watched The Sopranos last night when Gay Vito went and stopped by the bed and breakfast, he just knocked on the door and the woman let him in. It always, bed and breakfast sounds romantic. Here's what it is. You're going into somebody else's small house who can't afford to keep it up.
Right.
And you're crashing out in the room that their teenage son killed himself in 3 years earlier. And you're paying a premium for this.
For sure.
I have done this before. It is weird. Everyone says, oh, yeah, go to a little bed and breakfast, travel, little bed and breakfast. It's weird. Have you ever done it, Frank?
No, I did it once. I said, I went to Massachusetts. We went, a guy said, here's your place. I said, my wife, let's get out of here.
That's what me and my wife did. We stayed one night. We split.
Yeah, I don't. The guy's peeking through the door, I'm sure.
It's weird. Yes. It's weird because they're like, well, breakfast is served in the kitchen, and it's in the person's kitchen.
Yeah,
and
with the other people staying there.
Yeah, right.
Not worse. Grandma and young adopted Samoan son who's like 9 and giving you this stink eye. Wants to know why these weird people have to stay at our house, you know, and you're just sitting there. It's weird.
The whole shtick is it's very quaint.
No.
Yeah,
it's weird.
I
don't need quaint.
I need room service.
I want room service. I want Spectrovision. I want a mini bar. I don't want quaint. I don't want weird grandma giving me the stink eye while she's making me eggs in the morning.
I heard you people last night. Oops.
Yeah. Hey, Frank. I debated with about 6 guys yesterday, the episode from not last night but 2 Sundays ago.
Okay.
Muscles Marinara, Tony Soprano at the end, he gives them what for to show all the fellas who's boss, you know, who's still in charge. Do you think, I say Tony Soprano could in fact beat Muscles Marinara up. Do you agree? Or do you think Muscles Marinara just laid down for him because he's the boss?
Oh, sure. I think the kid was afraid. You know, all the other guys were there too, so I think the kid, he just succumbed to him, that's all.
That's right.
But he's a bear. Tony Soprano's a fighter. He could take him, right?
This kid's a young stud. I mean, One knee in the groin, it's all over for Tony.
That's right. Let me ask Dave, though. Are you talking about in real life or are you talking about in
I'm
the show?
No, I'm talking about on the show. I mean, Tony Soprano is a 6'2 guy who spent his whole life in the mob. He's probably 275. He's been in a number of fights. This Muscles Marinara is in the gym all the time, but probably hasn't been in a million fights. Plus, Tony gets the first lick in.
That's how it works.
Right.
You got to factor in the coma, though. I mean, isn't Tony just, still recovering?
Yeah, he's still recovering. That's why he was bleeding, and he threw up and everything.
Oh,
He picked the guy that would be most likely to fight back. When he was perusing everybody, he figures the kid's a hothead because you just had an argument with a guy in a car 2 minutes ago as they were driving over.
Right.
But the kid's got a hot temper, so he picked him purposely.
Tony did something that caught me off guard, which is the double vomit. Normally, and that's how it works. They never do it in TV shows. That's why the show's so realistic, or movies. The person just yaks, and that's it. But the reality is there's always a second wave that comes. Yeah. I held my hand up and went, oh, because I can't stand to watch it. Put my hand down, and then came the second.
First, he sneered in the movie.
Pleased with himself.
Right. All right. So, Frank, any revelations, any tips, any clues, anything you can give us?
We know Vito's on the lam, and we know that his cell phone is gone. Now the guys are trying to figure out what they want to do, what's going to happen. He's a big earner. Do we kill him? Do we not kill him? Do we go look for him? Should we let him back in?
Mm-hmm.
Paulie Walnut's been betrayed twice already now.
Right.
Feels like his whole life is ending. His mother's not his mother. His right-hand guy is gay.
Right.
I mean, there's a lot of trauma going on in the crew.
And Phil, your two best friends, Johnny Sack and Vito, now you've been betrayed by them. One's a crying woman and the other one's gay.
Well, Vito's married to my cousin.
Right.
Who, incidentally, that girl is Lorraine Bracco's sister, by the way.
Huh.
Which, by the way, this shows that almost, and don't take any offense, Frank Vincent, almost anyone can act. Because whenever they go, the guy who plays the dad of he's his dad.
Right.
You never have that. You know the guy who's flying the airplane?
Right.
Yeah. He's the guy who draws pictures of airplanes. It's one of those jobs where that's how whenever anyone talks about the craft and the this and the that, either you can do it or you can't. You can get better at it if you keep doing it. But if you can't do it, you can't do it. And if you can, doesn't matter if you're a caterer.
Right.
When the call comes, you can do it.
Well, the director can bring it out of you. Absolutely.
A good director.
Absolutely.
That's right. Unless you're Frank Vincent.
Well.
I'm saying doesn't matter. You could have a squirrel could direct your episode. You would still be believable.
Yes, absolutely.
All
absolutely.
Right. I'm going to give you a nice plug for agreeing with me on how talented you are. Frank has himself a little thing out called This Thing of Ours. It stars Frank, James Caan, and Vincent Pastore, who I guess is going to come in here at some point.
Next week, I think. Big Pussy is going to be on.
Big Pussy's going to be in here. Available now. Yes.
Great. That's great. That's This Thing of Ours. Yeah, DVD. Plus, we have a Guy's Guide to Being a Man's Man. My book. Get the book, folks. Come on. Guy's Guide to Being a Man's Man.
Well, what kind of tips can we find in there?
Well, let's see. In the dating section, we discuss things like a man's man would never say on the first date. Like, never say it. He's gonna say, he says, I'm going to ask our waiter if he can make the foam of my cappuccino a little more frothy.
Right.
You know?
Yeah, yeah, you may be gay veto with that.
I got to be home by midnight or my mother will lock me out. Like, that's not good right. to say on the first date. You know what I'm saying?
I argue guys do more damage by talking in the first date.
Absolutely.
You are essentially have been taken into custody. Just sit there. Be silent. Don't start gabbing.
We give advice for the first dates. For instance, on the first date, some guys start talking too much and leak more information than Sammy the Bull Gravano.
Right.
That's a no-no. A man's man lets his date do most of the talking.
Right. Yes,
that's
you
good.
You start talking about lactose intolerance
and
yeah.
one gay experience in Jewish camp when you're 14, but you don't think it counts. And the next thing you know, she's just vomiting into her boot.
You randomly run into your date's ex-boyfriend. A man's man is not intimidated. He asks the boyfriend questions like, "What's your hobby?" Then you tell the ex-boyfriend, "Your hobby is collecting guns."
That's right.
And then you tell him to go home and get a shine box.
Yes.
Yeah, that's sexy.
The Guy's Guide to Being a Man's Man. This thing of ours also out on DVD. Frank Vincent, thank you very much.
Go home and get your fucking shine box.
There it is.
Yeah. Always good talking to you.
Thanks, Adam.
Thank you, Frank. We'll talk to you next week. Always a little bit surreal at this hour speaking to someone you're just watching. And so enthralled with and so sucked into.
Phil Leotardo in the last couple of weeks has had some great lines.
Yes. Yes, he has. All right, we have Republican Richard Martin, the representative from Ohio, coming in here. Not sure what he's up to, but we'll talk to him. Also, start lining up your hobo power stories. We haven't done this one in a while. Hobo power.
I have a good one, actually.
Oh, good. It's a unit of measurement for stink. As I've said many times, we have units of we have gallons, we have degrees, we have BTUs, we have kilowatts, we have everything. We don't have a measurement for stink. And I say that's one we need because you do that thing where it's like, oh, man, I got in an elevator and this guy hadn't showered in a week. And it was funky. And people are like, well, how bad was it? Well, I'll tell you what. But it's nothing. You don't know what to compare it to. Mm-hmm. I have figured out a chart. I've calibrated it. You call us. You tell us your stink story. I will sign it.
This is
hobo power number.
This is one you smelled, by the way. The story I have is one that you experienced.
Oh, good. All right. Well, Dave's hobo power story. First, Richard Martin, Republican from Ohio, after this.
He doesn't like gays. He loves God. He's a Christian on a mission. Conservative. He's pro-life. He's pro-war. He doesn't trust blacks, says they're lazy and poor. He's Richard Martin, the Republican. He thinks a suit and tie should be every guy's uniform. And he loves freedom as long as we all conform.
A lot of drug use up there in Seattle. They got a drug problem up there. Their biggest monument's a needle.
He's ultra-white, his ass is tight. And he hates the liberal media. He's Richard Martin, the Republican.
Mm-hmm. He's in studio. He's a Republican from Ohio.
You know, I think it's neat that that fella went ahead and did a song for me, but why he had to have such distorted instruments, you know, just so loud and in your face.
Well, and I think that was just a piano and guitar and the bass.
I don't know. It didn't sound too clean. You know, distortion is it's the devil's cologne.
Just a little rock and roll.
It lets you know that something bad is about to follow it up.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. Yeah. I know you look at that as acid rock. We would think of it as just sort of, you know, finger popping ditty, you know.
Okay. No.
Yeah. I know you're
I will agree to disagree, Adam.
Okay. I'm not here to start up with you.
God darn it, I appreciate you having me on and listening to a counter viewpoint. I know I got a lot of liberals here, but, you know, maybe a couple of you are right curious.
Well.
And, I can bring you over to the good side.
Well, here's why we have people want to know we have a lot of liberal folks around here. We're in one of the blue states, and probably all the states we're in are blue or at least close to it. Why do we have Republican Richard Martin on the show from
Ohio? That's the question I always ask.
Well,
he's a creep.
But if you just put on people you agree with, then it just turns into a daisy chain in a porn movie. You know what I mean? Everyone is just blowing smoke at each other. And I don't think it makes for good radio or TV. I was watching Bill Maher over the weekend, and he has liberal actor, liberal activist, and black activist, and then liberal activist who's coming in satellite, and then there's Maher. It just becomes everyone just blowing smoke up each other. I like the show, but you have to bring somebody in there with an alternative viewpoint.
Absolutely.
That's why we have Richard Martin.
If there's going to be smoke, let's have war.
Yes, I agree.
Otherwise, it's a waste of smoke.
Well, speaking of war, what about Rumsfeld? A lot of talk about getting him, Rummy, to step down.
Do you think? Frankly, I'm tired of hearing it. You know, let's remember that the kids are out there fighting, and the best way to salute them is with our silence. You know, if a car is careening towards you out of control, any jackass can scream, "Car's coming." Takes a patriot to zip it and brace.
Well, a lot of those kids
just hang on.
A lot of those kids are dying, and I just heard that Rumsfeld actually, in the letter to the families announcing the death, he actually, rather than signing it, is stamping his name.
It's true, but you got to understand, Don is he's the most talented Secretary of Defense there's ever been. He's a busy man, and there's just so many letters.
Right. Yeah. Sad, but it's true.
And we will not forget the sacrifice that those kids are making. Mm-hmm. What were we talking about?
We're talking about sacrifice.
Oh, right. Yeah, the kids.
The kids. Yeah, there's, essentially we're trying to force democracy in a part of the world that may not be ready to accept it. I mean, isn't that what we're doing? We're forcing democracy on them?
Well, you're saying that, you know, that Iraq is not America.
Right. That's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Thank God it's not, because their poor people vote.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I wasn't aware of that.
Should that ever take hold here, we would have to overthrow our own government.
I think so.
We're overthrowing too many other governments to add ours to the list right now.
Yeah, speaking of overthrowing government, now we got Iran is in our crosshairs.
Adam, we got to bomb them.
Why?
We got to bomb them, Adam. Because they're the kind of country that could bomb someone.
I see. Right. So we should bomb them because they may bomb somebody
exactly.
at some point.
Preemptive. I'm glad we're on the same page.
Right.
They're so
essentially
dangerous.
You go to a party and you see a guy who looks like he might be the kind of guy who might kick somebody in the nuts.
Got to get him.
You should run up and kick him in the nuts.
Get him before he gets you, Adam.
Good point. Yeah. I never thought of it that way.
Am I the only one who thinks that's hypocritical? Why this guy, please? Never again, Adam.
Richard?
Yes.
No, I think he brings an alternative viewpoint to the show.
You got to be open to other people. Look, there's only one Ann Coulter. You know, you can't get her all the time.
That's
right.
There's
not that many Republicans to go around that go on the media.
Ann's a sexy gal, and she makes some good points.
But here's the thing I'm thinking of. I like the part we try to stem the tide of terrorists and everything, but today's tax day. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what percentage of your taxes are going to this war, going to the defense contractors, but it seems like more than what's necessary. It's amazing. The schools are falling apart. The roads are falling apart. Meanwhile, state of the art going into these, going into defense manufacturers, all
sure.
the money going into the war. How are we going to afford the war with Iraq if we start that up? I should say Iran if we start that up.
Well, let's look at who's fighting the war for us in Iraq.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's kids that can't afford college.
Mm-hmm.
So to fund the war with Iran, we make high school more expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Then we get all those kids. Mm-hmm. Syria starts poking its head up. Grade mm-hmm. school becomes prohibitively expensive.
So we just keep going down.
I figure we can go all the way down. We could take about seven countries on at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
And we could go right down to the fetal level. Anything beyond that would be abortion, and I'm opposed to it.
I understand. The Iraq and Iran thing next to each other is like you having two daughters, naming one Susan and one Suzanne. Mm-hmm. Just seems like there's going to every third time you call out, you will call the wrong one's name.
Sure.
It's like, you know, when you drive around and you see like, well, he's up on a Tarico Place. No, Tarico Canyon comes
exactly.
before Tarico. Let's get Iran. One of them's got to swap their name or
it
do something, right?
It should all be
right?
bulldozed, Adam. It should just all be bulldozed.
Well, no, I'm saying, no, I'm not saying yeah. bulldoze them. I'm
no.
saying maybe we call one, you know, Martinburg or something.
I
you
like
know,
it.
We,
yeah, like
just off the top yeah. of my head. But
yeah.
Iran and Iraq, it seems like
yeah.
almost every time I spit that out, I think for just a heartbeat. Wait yeah. a minute, is this the right one coming
right.
out of my mouth?
And let me just say this about Iraq. Hmm. You know, people say, God darn it, why are we over there? You know, those folks shouldn't have attacked us on 9/11.
Well, I don't think
the
that
Iraqis?
I don't think that was them.
It was Arabs. Yeah, if you want to nitpick about which Arab country it was that attacked us, we could do that. But that's energy that could be better used for line dancing, quite frankly.
Yeah. Got to get to that after the show. But changing gears here,
sure.
because we're running out of time. Do you have any names that you thought would be good for my unborn twins? I have a boy and a girl coming
a
in about seven weeks or so.
Geez, just off the top of my head, Joseph and Mary. George and Laura, Ron and Nancy, Richard and Pat, Lord and Lady Corolla.
Ooh, Lord and Lady.
Adds an air of sophistication that I would imagine is lacking in your blue-collar
well,
home.
That's probably right.
Yeah.
Blue-collar would be a nice step up for us.
Sure.
Yeah, brown-collar. Yeah, the Lord Corolla, Lady Corolla.
Sure.
Nice. Always sounds like a formal introduction.
Lord and Lady Corolla, would you care to repair to the pickup truck? Oswaldo is ready to chauffeur you to Der Wiener Schnitzel.
Well, that's good. I will write all those down. And I'm going, especially Lord Hollywood Corolla. You know, I've decided that Hollywood will make a beautiful middle name. So, yes,
sure.
Lord. Yeah, I like that.
And yeah. then when we invade Hollywood, you'll be the person that you can be our point man here.
Yeah, that's good. Oh, yeah. And the Republicans.
Sure.
Sure, because you guys are poised for a comeback. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. We're going to play a little hobo power when we come back. Republican
Speaking
from Ohio.
Stinking, Richard Martin.
Representative Richard Martin. Nice job.
Thank you
as
so
usual.
Much.
We appreciate the alternative viewpoint.
Can I give a quick plug to where I'm going to
be
this week?
You know what? Let me do that.
Okay.
I'm remiss. I'm sorry. He's going to be talking to the fine kids at UCB, the UCB Theater in...
It's in Hollywood, the Upright Citizens Brigade.
Oh,
Theater.
That's what that is. I thought
sure.
it was a college.
Trying to infect more minds with your nonsense.
Absolutely.
Tuesday night, 10 o'clock, and Thursday at 8 o'clock, the Upright Citizens Brigade Theater. Tuesday at 10 and Thursday at 8.
Yes.
All right. Good luck. Thank you very much. And we'll be playing Hobo Power. Call in with your Hobo Power stories. We'll talk to you after this.
Here's what's not coming up this morning on the Adam Carolla Show.
Madonna on marriage and being a mom. Greg Brady spills secrets about his past with the Brady cast on a brand new game show. Then, listen up, moms-to-be. We're letting you in on what the stars are buying for baby. And Hollywood's Moses in the fight of his life. Charlton Heston's son gives us an update on his father's battle with Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm. Hey, wait, you will find on this show coming up, Ozzy. He's going to review Ice Age.
So, I can't wait. I love his reviews.
He's good people. I just hope it didn't leave him cold, ironically. Cold. Dave's got a dirt jerk report coming up. I still have to figure out my religion. We've narrowed it down between Muslim and Judaism. So
you took the whole weekend to figure it out.
Yeah.
We listened to Buddhism's pitch, Scientology, mm-hmm. some Christianity, but you've pushed those all aside.
Yeah, we got a rabbi and a Muslim coming in here, and they'll go at it a little
Our
bit.
Our two friends from last week who made their
pitch. Play a little ass-kiss rodeo with them and see who wins in the religious tug of war. Also, dear friend, former leader of the Mighty Mighty Boston's, Dickie Barrett, is going to come in here, so always good to talk to him. Now, where were we? Yes, we were talking about hobo power. A unit of stink measurement. I discovered this many years ago, I think when I was on MTV, we really have a measurement. You know, you guys know about maybe kilowatts and horsepower, but boy, it just keeps going as you dig in ohms and knots and you British thermal units and things. There is a man when you start getting into this science, the fields of science and mechanical and stuff like that, it just keeps going and going and going. We have a unit of measurement for everything but stink. Mm-hmm. And I've decided if we could quantify it, then you'd really know what we were talking about. Mm-hmm. You know when someone's talking about an 11, a 23 versus a 49. Now, here's the parameters. It goes up to 100, but that's theoretical. You die. The only person that's ever smelled 100 is not here.
Dead. 50.
50 is the equivalent of a cat who's been fed nothing but blue cheese defecating on a white-hot hibachi. And the plume that comes off of that. And what was the vomit one? Do we have 50? You'll be vomiting at 50. If you didn't yak, it's hard to break 50.
30.
That's all I'm saying. Oh, is it 30? Yeah.
Mandatory vomiting at 30.
That's what I thought it was. Mandatory vomiting at 30. Uh-oh. Phone screener Brian begs to differ. Hey, listen, you're wrong, buddy.
I got one for you. This is one we spoke of. That... A couple years ago, it was your bachelor party.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Carolla, we go off to Lake Tahoe, and we stay in this big house, you know, like five, six rooms. You shared a bedroom with your pal Ray, who sleeps nude and who had ringworm at the time.
What? Yes.
And you shared a bedroom.
He had ringworm.
So that was one room.
Yes.
You think that's bad? No, no. I had to share a room with Sal... And the brothers Kimmel, John and Jimmy. Three of the worst stinkers, producers of gas the world's ever known. I mean, horrific gas all on their own. Now it's all three of them. Two bunk beds in this little room. Yeah. And me!
Yes.
I'm stuck in there. Oh. People walked in the morning. People walked in like, hey, fellas, we're going, you know, like whatever. And people collapsed.
Wind.
From the stench.
A hot wind from hell.
A night's worth of filth. You know, these people had booze and barbecue and stuff on their bellies. Yeah. You know, not much sleep. You know what happens.
But yeah. Was that like a 30? I mean, were you vomiting?
Well, it was so bad. I've gone to several specialists, and they say it's done that. Those two nights in that bunk room have done more damage than 2 decades worth of asbestos to my lungs.
Like a lot of folks.
You're going to die young. There's nothing they can do.
Part of the 9/11 cleanup.
Yes.
Right.
You're a guy who was at ground zero. You're in there recovering bodies without a respirator, and now you're paying the consequences.
Yes. I'm on borrowed time, apparently.
You're still a hero. Right.
Yes, thank you.
You'll be buried at Arlington.
This stem cell research, that's why I'm such a proponent of the stem cell, so that they can give me some new lungs.
Yeah, it was. Here's what happened. It was cold outside, and so you end up turning the heater on, and when you're living or flopping at a place, this is what happens. First off, everyone is lit. Everyone is drunk off their ass. Secondly, everyone's crashing out at 4 or 5 in the morning. Thirdly, you don't know how to work the thermostat. All you know is it's goddamn freezing in that cabin. So you turn everything all the way up. You then pass out. You wake up 4 hours later. It's 88 degrees inside there because you just turned the furnace on. Sal is blowing ass. Jimmy is world class.
Sal has actually made people vomit with his gas.
Really?
Outdoors.
Above a 30.
Yeah.
Outdoors.
And Jimmy stunk up a beach I was on with a 20-knot wind coming offshore.
Wow.
A beach with a hard wind.
Guys don't contain their stink unless women are around.
Yes.
I wouldn't have smelled any of these things.
So I'm not even.
You're coming to my next bachelor party, sweet.
Thank you.
Point is, yes, I opened that door too, and it was the hot wind mixed with the piped in hot air, and the ass all night just hit me.
You say you escaped the ringworm room with Ray to come in and experience this. What level did you get? What score do you give that stench?
Oh, man. That's
8 hours worth of stink.
Well, I can't do it over the, you know, it's just either it stunk or it didn't. I can't do time exposed to it. Although it's an issue, I'll go high 20s, low 30s on that.
Huh,
I'll say this too, as I was sleeping with my retarded buddy Ray, who was nude and had ringworm on my bachelor party. You can tell a lot about how people are in their waking life by how they sleep. Ray's the kind of guy that if you were eating, your friend was eating, and he was eating. If there's three of you eating at a diner, he used to do this all the time. And the one guy, your one buddy, announced he was done. He was finished. He couldn't finish his pie and slid it to the middle of the table. Ray would quickly spit on it. so that you wouldn't eat any of it. He would quickly just, he would just spit right on it. When you sleep with people that are of that mindset, they physically push you off the bed. It is them. Now they're unconscious. I mean, seriously, think about it. Have you guys ever done this? You share a bed with somebody who is fairly narcissistic and fairly, you know, sort of gimme, gimme, gimme when they're awake. When they're asleep, they go into the hyper gimme mode, and they're literally like, they'll spread out. They'll fight. He rolled himself like a burrito with the comforter and then sat there like a huge doobie in the middle of the bed. And the only thing that protruded was his arms that were trying to shove me off the bed.
And the ringworm.
And I was trying to avoid contact with his skin. So I had like my ass hanging off the box spring and no cover, and it was this.
And he's a gorilla, so you can't fight him either.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, he didn't get his own room.
Yeah, why didn't you get your own room?
I'll tell you why, because my agent, James Baby Doll Dixon, and this is another interesting ploy when you're going out with a lot of screwballs, go and announce when you arrive you're not well. You're not feeling well. You'll get the kid gloves. Okay, let him have his own room. You know what I mean? Okay, you know, at 2:30 when you say, look, I'm just going to crash out. I'm tapped out on lap dances. I've crapped out at the crab stable. I'm going to go crash. You don't get anyone go, come on, buddy, we're going out. You know, you announce that you're not feeling well as you get off the plane when you're with your J.O. buddies, and they kind of give you a little bit of a pass. He gets to sleep in his own room because he's not feeling too well. I'm there with the ringwormed ape, Ray, getting shoved off the bed.
And my lungs are ruined.
That's right. All right. Let's talk hobo power. Sean?
Yeah.
What's up?
Not a man. So I live in Vegas, right?
Mm.
No, it gets like 115 here, bro.
Yep. You're already at a 7, by the way.
Yes. This adds to the story.
Mm-hmm.
So I landscape, man. So we pull up this apartment complex that we've been doing for a while. It's like 45, 50 years old, downtown Vegas. The maintenance guy had a roommate, which he killed. Well, we didn't know he killed. Somebody was missing. This guy was missing for like 6 months, man.
Mm-hmm.
They pull the carpet up after the maintenance guy moves and finds a new concrete slab. So they break into it the day that we're there with the cops, dude.
Mm.
I get to know the cop lady a little bit. She lets us walk right up to the hole. The body's nothing but fluid, dude. It's about 110 outside.
Oh, no.
Now, you're indoors at this point.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. How close did you get to the hole?
Probably within about 3 or 4 feet.
Did you look into the hole?
Oh, it was horrible, dude. It was nothing but like this maroon liquid sheet. Oh, it was bad.
Mm, well, underneath the slab, huh?
Yeah.
No air conditioning inside the unit?
No, mm-hmm. The guy had been out of there for a while. I'm sure it hadn't been running.
Mm-hmm. Did you yak?
Damn near, dude.
Near. Mm. Well, I'm going to give you as high as I can give you without yakking. We're going to give you a 29.
29? A liquefied body.
He didn't yak.
He didn't yak. I mean,
he didn't yak. I'm sorry. I have to instigate these rules. I forgot. 30. You have to yak to make it to 30.
How about the smell stuck in my nose for about a week?
All right. I'll say you have a high tolerance. There's some people that'll yak seeing someone else yak.
Oh,
some people will yak just driving on a mountain road. I have to factor that in. All right, mid-30s, 35.
Right on.
Feeling generous. Don't tell anyone. I don't want word getting around. Next year, I got people hitting me up to get their hobo power yak.
Soft. Yeah,
it's kind of grade grubbing.
Yeah. Jeff?
Yay, Ace Man.
You got a story?
Yes, sir. I was in the Army, and we were over when I just got back from Baghdad about 3 months ago. Last summer, we were doing a house by house in northern outskirts of the city, and we could smell it about maybe 100 yards. We started smelling a really foul odor.
Mm-hmm.
We moved into the area. When we got to about 20 feet of this shack, two of my guys were already yakking.
Wow.
I was the third through the door and stepped in brown ooze on the floor. There were three liquefied bodies. It was like 2,000 degrees out.
Yeah.
Or at least it felt like it.
Yeah, they temperature.
Beheaded. Yeah, they were beheaded. We really couldn't tell if they were men or women.
Mm.
and they were just, it was just like clothing and ooze and bones, and it was terrible.
And you walked into the shack.
And it was all of our boots.
And
the boots got burned. We ended up just burning the building.
Oh, you did? You just torched the shack?
Yeah, and that the smell from that was even worse than the original smell.
Now, how do you do that? First off, do you have to decide, you know, hey, we're going to torch this shack? I mean, it is a murder scene. I mean, it is, I guess, a crime scene, and also it's a war crime scene,
well,
I guess.
Yeah, forensic crime scene stuff isn't real high over there. You know,
right. It's too many bodies.
Throw a white phosphorus grenade in there and just burn it down.
Nice.
Yeah, so everybody was puking their guts out, ran back out of the building. Just unbelievable. I've never smelled anything like that. I think I still have the smell in my
mouth. What was the temperature?
It was easily pushing 120 out.
All right. Well, because you're a veteran and because it was 120, and again, if this had happened in Greenland or something, no big deal. But the fact that it's 120 degrees and it's confined... I'm going to go low 60s, 63.
Oh, my God.
Well, 63.
It seems like there are a couple of factors. First of all, he could smell it 100 yards away, and two guys yacked.
Yeah, but he didn't yak himself.
I think this one has to rival some of the all-time greats.
Maybe he does. Breaks. Jeff, you physically burned your boots?
we got rid of the boots.
Because, you know, I paid for those. You know, it's today's tax day. Yeah.
So I'll make sure I'll email one of my friends over there, and if they get that happens again, I'll have them send them to you.
Thank you. That's what I'd let's just tag them, bag them, and put them in the mail.
Consider
I'll get them.
Several of the soldiers vomited, and I'm sure they've seen some horrific things. Consider that,
right.
too.
Right.
That if this
Good
is
point.
So awful.
Right. Well, okay. All right. 71. Here's my problem. Here's why I would make a bad soldier. I wouldn't be able to walk around with that phosphorus grenade for more than 10 feet without wanting to bust it out. You know, like a retarded 9-year-old with an M80. And we'd be out marching, and it'd be like, wow, look at that. Those two dogs are fighting. Oh, you want me? I'll use a grenade. Oh, you want me to use a grenade on them? I would, anything that was gone, a guy had a splinter, you want me to use a grenade? I'd just be looking for reasons to use the grenade.
Adam, I have cramps.
Here you go, baby. Hold still.
If you cared about me, you would have grabbed me at your bachelor party. You would have grabbed me, pulled me out of that room
Rolled
with
the
Kimmels
in.
And sound, just blown it all up.
I should have thrown you over my shoulder and done that. Come on, buddy, we're going home.
Save yourself, Corolla.
You left a man in the field of ringworm.
All right, Dante from the porn store, the Circus of Books in Los Angeles. Dante?
Yeah.
Do you have a story for us?
Oh yes.
What do you have?
There's this customer we used to call Overing. Yeah, he would come in one day with a ton of cash, the next day his credit card would decline for $2.
Right.
He looked like a cross between Uncle Ben and Aunt Jemima's love child.
Mm-hmm.
And he would come in just smelling like the oldest fried chicken you have ever smelled in wet towel.
Yeah. Now, was he a homeless guy?
He looked homeless, but some days he would just whip out a wad of cash.
Mm-hmm.
And he was just bursting out of his shoes. And as soon as he came in, you were just pimp slapped with the smell.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So he was a brother.
Oh,
what
yeah.
you're saying. Yeah, I'm thinking of brothers George Clinton, the godfather of funk or whatever. That guy could fill up a room. He was a huge man. He had huge hair. Your hair is essentially a stink sponge that you wear on your head. When you rarely smelled a guy whose head is cleanly shaven, they don't stink that much. But when you can tell if a guy was at a smoky bar the night before, mm-hmm. when he gets up the next morning, his hair will smell like whatever was in the room. Now imagine having 7,000 cubic feet of hair.
Oh.
If you're George Clinton, every doobie you've ever, I could smell joints he rolled in high school coming off of that guy's head. Yeah, so I'm digressing. So
he didn't just play funk. He lived it.
He lived it. Yeah. So you're saying that this guy stunk when he came into
the
gay bookstore.
As soon as he stepped in the door.
Right. But you have air conditioning there.
That did nothing.
You didn't have to make love to him.
No, we have to just be near him.
I'll tell you, if any ladies have enough courage, they'll call in and explain how some guy who was funkified got on top of them. Because that's the ultimate. You know, it's one thing to discover a funky body. It's another thing to have a guy come through the front door. It's another thing to disrobe and lay down with the guy. And by the way, guys that don't normally stink get a little sex funk going when the hormones and the nerves and the anticipation. That's the person I want to talk to. The guy who or girl who lay down with
Fat
this person.
Tad's last lover.
I think everyone's done that.
Yeah, well, that's another thing that a hot day isn't your friend.
Fat Tad's last lover killed himself many months back. Dante?
Yeah.
All right. I don't. You didn't have to make love. You're up on that riser. He walked by. Do you guys have one of those mirrors, one of those convex mirrors that you put in the corner?
We just got rid of it like 2 months ago.
It's a bad set. Whenever you go into a store and it has one of those huge trash can lid-sized mirrors that you see up in the hills sometimes, you can see around a corner. When that's in the corner, it means you should not want to work there. That's what I'm going to tell my kid. Like, I'm going to say, look, I don't care where you work, and a lot of people do that, don't work anywhere with a name tag. Work nowhere with a convex mirror. Big, huge mirror up in the corner so you can catch some homeless guy beating off or something. No, don't do it. That's what you should look for, that mirror.
You're not going to see anything you want to see.
That's my point. What do you think? You're never going to see roses and kittens
right.
in that mirror. It's only trouble. All right, we will take ourselves a break. We ran a little long with our hobo power story. We will be back. Ozzy's going to review a movie. He's got Ice Age, and then... Well, before that, I think we'll do some news and some sports. Then Ozzy's review. Dave's Jerk Report. Oh, so much to go after this.
Hey, it's the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam Carolla now. 866-901-ADAM.
Hey, I had a revelation. You know, I like to figure out the things where it either means you're super rich or super poor. Either your life is really going well or it's going horribly, like an outdoor shower. If you have an outdoor shower at your house, it means you're either filthy rich or you have no money. And it's funny, if you have a bunch of cars, it means either you're super rich. You have super poor people have a bunch of cars.
Yes.
They're up on blocks. They're rusting out. If you have anything that's upholstered in outdoors, a sofa, for instance, outdoors, either means you're filthy rich or super poor.
So true. Never
if you walk around in a bathrobe, the lion's share of the day, filthy rich or super poor.
Or low bottom drunk.
Yeah, there's weird things like if you're driven a lot. Because when you're driven a lot, it means either when you're super poor, either means it's you know, you got one of your flunky members, family members taking you to the bus station or a cop, you're riding in the back of a cop car, or you have to take a cab, or you're being chauffeured around. There's certain things, it's weird. How it works. Also, even stuff like consume massive amounts of alcohol. Like, super rich people have highballs, will drink like a highball cocktail in the morning, then poor guys will do that too. But there's these weird similarities. They're similar in every way, but the
wow,
money.
It's like the Lincoln Kennedy thing, the similarities between those two.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Wow, yeah. This is amazing.
Lots of family members living under the same roof.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another super rich thing or super poor thing. In Big Tad's case, you can do the math on that one. Here's my point. I don't know how to feather this one in, but we were laughing about that trash can lid size convex mirror that they'll put up in the corner of the porn store or whatever, the head shop or whatever kind of filth you work in, so you can see what people are doing in the corner from the counter. If you have one of those mirrors at your place of work, your life is not going according to plan. But if you have one at the end of your driveway, you're in the catbird seat. You're doing good. So you want that mirror. You don't want it at work. You want it somewhere near where you live.
On your property.
Yeah, you're trying to back the Bentley down the long, winding driveway, and you're up in the mountains. You don't want to be
too
clipped.
Many acres, right? You, right. You live a private, secluded life.
Right, yes. Hedges and things.
Hedges and gilded gates and fences and things. You can't make it out on the street without the use of that mirror. All right.
I like this theory.
Yeah. I'm going to work it out. All right, now... It is time for the news and Teresa Strasser.
Because April 15th fell on Saturday this year, you had 2 extra days to do your taxes, but time is up. If you haven't filed already, returns must either be postmarked today or filed electronically by midnight.
Mm-hmm.
According to the IRS, the 2 most common mistakes that can hold up your return, transposing 2 numbers on your Social Security number or failing to sign your return.
Do you guys do yours? You finished? You good?
Yes. I'm good.
Did you do your own?
No, of course not.
No. All right. No. Well, a lot of people
do. I'm retarded.
Yeah, me too.
I'm barely literate.
I wouldn't, when I was poor, I wouldn't file for years at a time. Just nothing. And then I would.
What happens when you do that? I always
nothing
wonder.
Really.
I've said this before. I am pretty irresponsible and dumb. Mm-hmm. And yet, I think I'm probably more responsible than about a half of the country.
Oh, at least.
Though, you know, but I'm a dope with these things. How does America quantify how many people just don't do it?
I'll tell you how it works, or tell you the thought process works, because I lived that life for many years, driving around with no car insurance, not filing. And this is an adult, you know, 26, 27, 28. You're like, look, first off, so sue me. What are you going to do? There's right. That thing. This is why a lot of people end up in prison. I mean, seriously, when you're sleeping on a futon with your ringworm-infested buddy Ray, who's rolled himself up like a doobie of the comforter and is pushing off. If every day is that day, and every day is a crappy pickup truck, and there's no air conditioning wherever you are, and, you know, food stuff. So what? What's the big drop-off going to prison? I mean, if any of us go to prison, it's a huge lifestyle change. Right. If you're on the outside and you're eating crap and you're not getting laid and you share one bedroom apartment with three guys, what's the big drop-off?
The only difference is once you go to prison, you're going to start getting laid.
Right.
That's right.
Three hots and a cot.
That's right. That's the point. People stop caring. They stop paying taxes. They stop getting insurance. And they start committing crimes. The more you know. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Powerful. Go ahead.
The trial of confessed.
I don't want to lose any listeners here, but you know, tax day. I don't know what the hell I paid, hundreds of thousands of dollars. I'm sure I want special treatment. I make no bones about this. Everyone makes me into a pompous ass about this. I don't care. I'll shout it from the mountaintop. There's no other celebrity with the huevos to say they want preferential treatment for the money they pay in. But I'm the guy who'll tell you, yes, I would like to be let out of parking tickets. I would like my own garbage man. Maybe he comes 2-3 times a week.
Right. Maybe you should get to keep your library books like a month longer.
That's right. If I theoretically went into one of those places that rents the books out, what is that called again?
A library?
It doesn't even have the word book in the title. That's why it's confusing. Point is, if I went in there and checked out one of those books, hypothetically, I should be able to keep it.
I agree.
Soak it in my own urine and return it a month late. No charge, Mr. Carolla. You're in the $500,000 club. That's what I'm saying. Run this country like a casino. I'm a high roller. I went to
sweep. You pay that much?
What's that?
You think you pay that much in taxes?
Oh, yeah.
Half a million?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I paid that much.
Well, it's probably crazy. More. I'll tell you, here's how you know you've reached a certain station in life that you don't even know what you paid in taxes.
Well, there comes a point where you don't want to know, because if you knew, you would go insane. The point is, again, I know everyone always tells me to shut up with this stuff. You guys can all kiss my hairy ass, because I don't have any of that silver spoon crap. I just grew up poor like everyone else, and now I'm PO'd. And everyone's like, oh, what do you deserve? Any special? All right, well, just pay $600,000 and then get nothing and see how you feel about it. It's all right. Just go ahead. See how you feel about it. You get zero.
I, for one, thank you for the roads and the libraries that I get to use because
thank
of your
you.
Tax dollars.
That's all I want. That's all I want. And again, when you pusses are out there complaining about the government, oh, the NSA, you know what? They could be listening on my cell phone conversations. They want to get DNA samples so they can They're taking a third to half of your money. Focus on that. That's the number one infringement of civil liberties, everybody. You make a dollar, you give 35 cents to the government. Don't worry. They can listen to all the phone calls they want. They can go through my garbage. I don't care. Just let me keep some of my money. Think about that, everybody. But the left, ironically, who does nothing but crow about the government invading our lives, intruding on, they want you to give them more money.
Yes,
they want it to be half.
Because it goes to the less fortunate.
Yeah,
that's exactly right.
Yeah, it goes to the less fortunate. It's working out like a charm. Look, you're not doing the less fortunate any favors by giving them stuff.
Well, blame the Democrats for what the government is doing.
I'll tell you what. I'm telling you, I come from a welfare environment, and it doesn't work. It makes people sit around. It just enables them, and they sit around, and then they blame the government, and then they get in this shame spiral, and they get angry, but they start lashing out. They're really angry at themselves, but they start blaming the government. Well, get to work, everybody. Let me keep my money.
Beautifully, the last 6 years with the Republicans in charge,
giving more money to people who don't feel like working is not the way to do it.
Let's raise the minimum wage.
Yes.
Thank you. Do you want to hear about Zacharias Moussaoui or not?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course.
Good. The trial of confessed Al Qaeda conspirator Zacharias Moussaoui resumes today. Would-be shoe bomber Richard Reid will not be testifying.
That's the saddest part about this whole story. I would love to see this guy up on the stand. This guy looks like a Dr. Seuss character. the crazed. Yeah, I mean, it's just he's crazed looking and goofy at the same time. There's the angry crazed terrorist. This guy is goofy as he is, and we're talking about Richard Reed. Yeah. As goofy as he is crazed looking, as goofy as he is. Yeah. All right, so Massaoui, who's gone on, got up there, spoke on his own behalf and done more damage than any prosecuting attorney could do.
Oh, his
he
defense
did this 2 weeks ago, right?
Are hating it. Yeah, he just can't stop saying incriminating things on the stand.
Well, we have more, by the way. Let's hear that. As if Americans didn't hate this guy enough.
I wish to go to PBS and visit the set of Sesame Street and push the cameras down to reveal they are all puppets. Take that, American childhood.
That's attacking the innocence.
Pennsylvania. Break into the Hershey factory and pour barrels of X-Lax into the chocolate vats. I intended to kidnap all of Bob Barker's spayed and neutered pets and reattach their genitals. Ah, the irony.
So he's gonna kidnap the spayed and neutered pets that Bob Barker's worked with and reattach the genitalia. He's gonna essentially hook them back up again.
Wow. Commitment.
Yeah, but macabre.
Yeah.
Thank God we got hold of this guy. Well, thank God he didn't say anything more than that.
I wanted to go to the U.S. Treasury, wipe my ass with one single dollar bill, and put it back into circulation.
Whoa.
I would break into the Supreme Court chambers and force the other justices to gangbang Ruth Bader Ginsburg. All except for Clarence Thomas. He has to work the video camera.
Oh, man. You know that's going to be on the internet, too.
Reassemble the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team and force them to play naked. And laugh when the ice makes their genitals shrink.
Woo! Thank God he was stopped when he was. Before he could get to these plans.
Sinister.
These ghoulish, sinister plans.
Really?
All right, well, that's enough of that. Teresa, how are you feeling? You got more?
Yes, I have more. Let's shake that off.
Yeah.
I don't know if you guys caught the interview that Diane Sawyer did with Tom Cruise last Friday night on Primetime Live. She asked the hard-hitting question to Tom Cruise, is there anything that drives you crazy about Katie Holmes?
That drives me crazy in a good way. Her smile drives me crazy in a good way. She has this thing that she does with her tongue when she's really laughing, where her tongue sticks out. And so I've seen people that have photographed that, and it's the cutest thing. When we're riding motorcycles, I tell her, look, please don't stick your tongue out. If we hit a bumper or anything, I get a little nervous about it.
Yeah, I saw that. I was won over by the fact that he pulled up in a Tuskegee Airman P-51 Mustang, one of the greatest winged vessels this country has ever commissioned. Beautiful P-51 Mustang, Merlin or an Allison V-12 supercharged, later fitted with a supercharged Rolls-Royce V-12. Those things are worth millions of dollars now. It's very impressive seeing flying. That's all it takes for me.
I don't know how you can afford it, really.
Yeah.
If somebody asked you, is there anything that drives you crazy about your wife, would you be able to come up with something?
Not sticking her tongue out. For me, it's the opposite. Ironically, it's weird when my wife and I were watching because she knows her not putting her tongue out enough is a problem I have. Yeah, so it was kind of weird and ironic, yeah.
Okay, Brangelina. Big news. Big Brangelina news.
Can we make some sort of moratorium about
Brangelina?
Well, no, I don't mind the news, but when he, you know, Pat O'Brien, I have to hear a 57-year-old man go, Brangelina, baby bump.
Tomcat.
Yeah, Tom it's Cat. Just, I didn't sign off on it.
Who was the first one? Was it Tom? No, there was the
No, there was Bennifer.
Bennifer was the first one. That's right. Bennifer started it off. Brad and Angelina may be having their baby in Namibia.
Namibia. Mm.
According to a local governor in the African country.
Yeah.
The couple is currently staying at a heavily guarded lodge there with Maddox and Zahara Jolie Pitt, and they're considering giving their baby a Namibian name.
Here's how stupid I am. Namibia, to me, sounds like a made-up place. Like, if Richard Dreyfuss was going to star in a movie from the 80s where he had to be an out-of-work actor living Manhattan, and then the other part of him was the Prince of Namibia, it would be a made-up place. It would be just some made-up place. Eventually, they would have to swap places, and he'd have to use his acting to play the Namibian prince or whatever it is. But it just sounds like a tongue twister to me.
It is. It's a small country in, I believe, southern Africa.
What's up with... Let me ask this about Brad. How many times can this guy change his hair? It's blonde. It's black. He has a mohawk. The next time I see him, he has cornrows. Then he has an afro. Then he has a ponytail. what goes on with this celebrity hair that it can change that much that fast? It's always a different color. It's always a different shape. The pictures are taken every 8 days.
Yeah.
I saw that they showed him in Namibia.
Yeah,
he had a full-blown mohawk.
Yeah.
Next time I see him, he's going to look like Leif Garrett, circa 1979. How does this work?
It's a hobby, maybe.
But how do you grow it back that fast?
Extensions?
Okay.
By the way, there's no chance that those two are going to make it the long haul. They're not going to be
right.
Paul Newman and Woodward.
Yeah. Right, Joanne. Right.
What makes you say that?
Listen, they're not going to make it. But here's what else I realized this weekend. That she's definitely going to be the one to dump him, yes? There's no chance he dumps her. He doesn't pick up some other lady and move on.
Here's the deal, yes. Here's the chance that they have. When chicks are nuts, and guys too, but girls especially, when they're nutty, they act out.
Right.
But that acting out period has sort of a shelf life, and it's somewhere about 35. Now, guys, if you're Mickey Rourke, you can keep this going. If you're Gary Busey, if you do enough drugs and you're right. delusional enough and you're whatever, you can keep this going in your 60s as guys. For women, it usually ends mid-30s. They just get it out of their system. They have issues with daddy. They have abandonment issues. And they act out from 15 to about 35. And then eventually they get a little therapy. The hormones stop raging. They've slept with enough bad boys. They've done enough damage to their life. And it just kind of, it's like some crappy car that just coasts to a stop. Eventually does. Now, if you're the guy who shows up when it's coasting to a stop, you're fine. They've got all out of their system.
So you think this might work out then?
Yeah, because she's in her mid-30s or heading toward her mid-30s. It's all about collecting her array of kids and sort of coasting to a stop. If he'd met her when she was 23, no way. Mm-hmm. She's got a lot of acting out to do.
I think you make a good point. I mean, gone are the vials of blood and tattoos, and now she's an ambassador.
That's right. She's wearing Namibian kids around her neck.
Right.
That's right. Oh, by the way, this just in more from Massawi.
Oh, no. I was going to hire Hollywood special effects technicians to re-edit Rocky IV so the Russians win. Let's make vigorous love to the Olsen twins and then use the original manuscript for Grapes of Wrath to mop up the wet spot.
Original?
I wanted to go to McDonald's headquarters. Kidnap Mayor McCheese and force him to have gay sex with the Grimace.
What the hell is this Grimace anyways?
That's a good point. What is the Grimace? Doesn't represent any food they have there. Yeah.
I like the Hamburglar.
Yeah. All right.
I hope that's it from Massawi.
I think it is.
Okay, last story here. Illusionist David Blaine has announced his next stunt, a 7-day stint in a human aquarium outside New York's Lincoln Center. He's going to end the stunt by attempting to hold his breath for longer than the current record of 8 minutes and 58 seconds, a feat which will air on ABC in May. And I just had a feeling here, I don't know, but I had a feeling that you might be somebody that hates David Blaine more than you hate Prince.
I have no problem with him except for the part where chicks are stupid and he gets laid.
Ugh. He's the foxiest of them all, Josie Moran. Look her up online if you don't know who she is.
He had her. I met him, and he was hanging when Fiona Apple came in to do the radio show, and he did the whole levitation thing right in front of me and had me pulling cards and stuff like that. He's a nice enough guy, at least from the few times that I've met him and have no quarrel with him. I just don't like it when chicks fall for guys' crap. He's one of these guys, and guys, if you're listening, if there's ever an argument for just pouting and not talking, it's David Blaine. If this guy opened his mouth and started chatting up all the chicks, they'd eventually decide he was just some hack magician, and they want nothing doing. But he pouts, and he grimaces, speaking of the grimace, and he gives that look, and he's pondering, and, ooh, he's deep in thought. Meanwhile, he's just picturing, you know, rabbits and hats and playing cards that are marked. But he's just sitting there thinking, chicks want to know. Plus, he's a great, another great example of a guy who gets momentum. Like, well, he's not particularly tall. He's not particularly handsome. I don't know how much money he makes. I'm not exactly sure what he does. But he did sleep with Fiona Apple. And that's good enough for me, Josie Moran. I'll bed down with him, too.
Yeah, that does help. Because you think he must be good.
There's something there.
As you pointed out before, I think the first one is the toughest one. You get one well-known fox, one celebrity fox, you're now in for the next decade.
I am
good.
That's
foxes.
Why when my son, his junior year of high school, I'm going to hire a super foxy call girl, high-class call girl, just to show up and be his girlfriend for the first semester, his junior year.
Let me tell you the best one.
Then he'll immediately get laid after
Here's
that.
Here's the best one good. You should do for your son. an L.A. Laker girl. Because they always will be around, and they'll always be foxy.
Right.
You see?
Right.
When you're 67 years old, you'll say, you'll go to a Lakers game, and you'll say, yeah, I had one of those girls, and they'll still be 23 years of age.
I'm not sure if I can pay them to have sex with my son, though, is what I'm saying.
Yeah,
sure
you can.
I'm doing the Corolla math and figuring the kid's not going to get laid on his own already. And already
what do you think
putting
those
some
girls
money
are
aside.
Getting made? Getting paid.
All right.
A grand will do the trick.
I'm just saying, for every nickel I put in the college fund, I put a quarter into the hooker fund.
Right.
I wish my dad would have thought about that, too. It's
more you know.
Mm-hmm.
Heartless bastard.
Thank you.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Wow, what a shocker. Bruska just held up a card that said, keep it short.
I know.
Creep.
I'll tell
out
you
of the
what.
Gate, red hot, Bruska.
When you just hold up a card that says go long, because if you don't hold up any card, we'll assume that he needs to hurry up. You know what I mean? It'll be faster.
That'd
over
be the
over
default.
The course of the show, it'll save time, yes.
What a jerk. Now, the regular season of our nation's association of pro basketball teams winding down. The L.A. Kobe's going into the playoffs like a bat out of hell.
Mm-hmm.
Or a bull in a china shop.
Right.
We need a new one of those.
Yeah. I'll figure it out.
I'll figure it out.
Yeah.
A cheat on the Serengeti.
That's not bad. Yes.
Kobe went for 43 yesterday. They whipped the Suns last night. Those two teams are going to get it on when the playoffs start up. A lot of people are starting to even say the Lakers might win.
How about a ferret launch from a potato cannon?
That's a good one.
Potato gun.
I'll try
that's
that
good,
one
yeah.
next time around.
All right, that's good.
Ferret launched.
Like
all right. Next, with just one game left, it looks like Kobe, by the way, is going to become the fourth player in NBA history to average over 35 points a game. And yet, no one seems to think he deserves the MVP. It's crazy.
Let's Who do they want to give it to?
Yeah,
they want to give
Duncan?
It to Steve Nash, the pasty faced,
yes.
you know,
like
Suns
him.
Point guard with
he's
the long
a
hair.
Yeah,
the girls yeah. like him, and that's part of the cachet. And he's white and everything, and I think that's
yeah,
part
but
of the appeal.
Kobe, I mean, 35 points.
He's still going to be the fourth guy in the history. No, I mean, here's the best way to analyze it. What would that team be if you took him off? He plays with a bunch of Special Olympians. Everybody else is, you know, like LeBron James's team wouldn't be very good either. But I mean, Steve Nash.
Did those four guys? The best way to do it. Did they win the Player of the Year? The year they did that.
That is a good way to look at it. Yeah.
That's a good
Then you have a pretty good case for it, if in fact they did.
Look into that.
I will. I don't know. Will Chamberlain, Rick Barry, and Mike
You
Jordan.
Would assume they got it that year because they yeah. had to have an awesome year.
Probably. Sacramento Kings also in the playoffs. They clinched last night. Meantime, L.A.'s best NBA team, the Clippers, lost at home to the lowly Supersonics last night. Conspiracy theorists, though, say that they intentionally are losing
right.
games now because they don't want to finish fifth. Better for them to finish sixth. If they finish fifth, they have to play the Mavericks, who are really good
mm-hmm.
because of a quirk in the
right.
way the playoffs
right.
lay out. The sixth, they get the Nuggets. Not as good. So people say they're tanking it. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
National pastime, Halos whipped the O's. A's blew one in the ninth to the Rangers. Mariners lost to Boston. Padres beat the Braves. Snakes lost to the Astros. Giants, they were shut out by the Dodgers. Giants took 2 of 3. A lot of attention paid to the series because of Barry Bonds. Still no home runs. Still a jerk.
Yeah, and the Dodgers, 500. There's your news story. What are they, one game under 500 now, or are they just right at 500?
One game under. Many to go.
Oh, boy. What's gone wrong?
Well, listen, Barry Bonds, no home runs. One thing's for sure, he has not come into this season like a ferret shot out of a potato gun.
I can't. But he did advance the runner. Last night he hit the ball.
Oh, he made contact.
He made contact.
All right, but anyone could do that.
I love to
not
see
me.
Him
we
pathetically
need dinners.
Struggling to get a base hit.
Dave Damashek's number one sports.
All right, the great Oswaldo's going to come in here with a Ice Age movie review. Dave's got his jerk report. Also, we have the rabbi and the Muslim coming in here. They're going to play the Last Kiss Rodeo. See what religion fares. The best, Dickie Barrett from the Mighty Mighty Boston's and dear, dear friend coming in as well. All still coming up.
I say Adam, and he says
Adam.
I say Hoffman, and he says...
Hoffman.
Adam.
Adam.
Hoffman.
Hoffman.
That's just how Oswaldo talks. I say racist, and he says...
Racist.
I say confusion, and he says...
Confusion.
Racist.
Racist.
Confusion.
Confusion.
That's just how Oswaldo talks.
Yes, Oswaldo Castillo in studio. Good to see you, Ozzy.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning, Ozzy. Slick. Went to finishing school over the weekend.
Apparently.
Ozzy, I ate the side of your enchilada casserole that was chicken last night.
Oh, yeah? You like it?
Yeah, it was good. He made me an enchilada casserole. He dropped it off on Friday night along with a vat of rice and beans. I ate the rice and beans on Friday night. No, Saturday night I ate the rice and beans, and then last night I ate the casserole side. The enchilada casserole, half is shrimp,
and lobster and shrimp.
The other half is chicken. The other half is chicken.
Yeah.
Yeah, the right side. Well, depending on what side you have it flipped around on. One side has the verde sauce, the other has the red sauce. Red sauce is the lobster side, right?
Yep.
All right, got that figured out. It was the lobster side for Easter?
Oh, yeah.
No, I'm asking you.
Is that
how they go?
No, the green side, you know, for Easter, and the red side, you know, for Holy Week.
Holy Week, right?
Good Friday.
All right, the dog will be celebrating Holy Week. I don't like the shrimp.
What does that mean? You're not supposed to eat fish.
He prefers the chicken. He prefers the chicken.
I don't know. I can't figure out what you're supposed to eat on what day. I know there's some fish or something involved with Catholicism at some point, right?
The tradition is seafood, you know.
Seafood,
you know,
right.
Suppose, you know, the religion prohibit, you know, the meat.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody often eat meat, you know, for make a sex.
Oh, I see.
You know, this is the problem, you know.
They eat meat and they make a sex?
Yes.
I did make sex into the casserole.
They sure say, you know, no make a sex. The meat prohibit is the human beef, you know.
I don't know what he's talking about, but I'm hungry and horny now. How about you guys? Well, anyway.
He said something about human
beef. I ate the side. I hope I ate the side you didn't make sex into, and it was delicious last night. Thank you, Oswaldo.
You charge batteries.
Although I am a little gassy this morning. Ozzy is here. He is going to review the movie Ice Age Meltdown. Still number one the last week. I don't know if
Scary Movie 4 was number one this week, but Ice Age still number two.
Number two. All right, so let's, without any further ado, Oswaldo in his movie review.
Oswaldo, tell us about some movies. We want to know which movies you have seen. Go ahead, Oswaldo, tell us.
The movie that I saw, Ice Age.
I say
the meltdown.
The meltdown.
It stars the voice of Ray Romano.
It stars the boys. His boys.
Voices.
Oh, his voices.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Ray Romano is Manfred. Manny.
Mm-hmm.
The big mammoth.
Mm-hmm. Is it a mammal?
Mammoth. Yeah. Big elephant.
Mammoth. Yeah. Woolly mammoth.
Mammoth.
What?
Mammoth.
Mammoth?
Mammoth.
Mammoth?
Mammoth.
All right, but you can say mouth, right?
Mouth?
You wouldn't say mouth, would you?
Mouth?
No, okay. Mammoth. Woolly mammoth.
John Leguizamo is...
Leguizamo, that's right up your alley.
Leguizamo.
All right.
Is Sid.
Mm-hmm.
Dennis Leary is Diego.
Oh, there you go, Diego.
Gwen Latifah is Ellie.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Peck is Eddie, and Jay Leno is Fast Tony.
Leno.
The movie is funny, fantastic, and comedy kid family animation and sequel feeling.
It's a sequel.
Sequel, yeah.
Did you bring your kids?
Yeah, I bring all my family, man.
All right.
How many kids?
Three.
Cute, by the way. And Ozzy's wife, by the way, is Foxy, slender. His kids are attractive. Ozzy's the only troll in the whole family.
Ozzy with the beard, by the way, looks sort of like Saddam these days.
I am the black sheep.
Yeah. I think he was trying to say sheep. Oh, Ozzy, you can't say that. That's right.
So pleased with himself for saying
after
it.
After eating the enchilada, I had the black sheep myself. All right, go ahead, Ozzy.
Ice Age, Comedy King Family Animation and Sequel Film.
Mm-hmm.
Ice Age 1, 2002, mm-hmm. and Ice Age 2, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
The movie is an animated film in the prehistoric time in the Valley Melting.
Valley Melting? The valley's melting.
Yeah, melting, yeah.
Okay.
The time melting.
Mm-hmm.
The three heroes, Manny, C, and Diego, help the mammoth, Ellie.
The mammoth, Ellie.
Yeah, mammoth Ellie, you know, they make, you know, the voice, you know, Queen Latifah.
Queen Latifah's Ellie.
Who has personal identification trauma problem.
She has a personal identification trauma problem?
Yeah. She thinks, you know, he's an opossum.
Opossum?
Yeah.
Opossum?
Opossum.
You understand? You know what it's like building a house with us, Waldo? Ozzy, I'm going to be out of town for 3 days. Now, make sure you get this. Can you picture that? And then talking over the phone the following day.
You are the Han Solo to his Chewbacca, translating his words for all the rest of us.
All right. All right, go ahead.
She thinks, you know, it's opossum.
She thinks she's a possum.
And the two brothers, opossum, Crash and Eddie,
mm-hmm.
are together.
Mm-hmm.
My favorite part, you know, is when Scrat, the squirrel. Saving the nut, you know, from the piranhas.
He's saving the nut?
Yeah.
All right. Saving the nut from the who?
The piranhas.
Piranhas?
Yeah.
Is there one word we have that you guys have? What about no? How do you guys do that one?
Nut.
All right. But really. All right. So your favorite part, just restate that last part.
My favorite part is when Scrat, the squirrel, saved the nut from the piranhas.
Okay, now I got it. I don't even have to see the movie. I just close my eyes. Now, it's Waldo, tell me what happened.
It was also nice of him earlier. Even before that, we got a little special thing with him explaining Christianity to us.
It was nice. Yeah.
After this, you don't need to see the movie, man.
Yeah.
In the end, Ice Age, the meltdown, let this reviewer... Ice cold.
Wow.
Ice cold. Look at how pleased Ozzy is with that one.
Wow, Ozzy, you've outdone yourself.
Almost fell out of his chair with glee after saying
better than the right side of my enchilada casserole,
oh,
baby. Nice job.
Thank you.
Oz, you're going to hang out for this phone call, Stephen Green.
Wow, that was the good news from Ozzy. Here's some bad news for Ace.
Stephen Green, the electrician from the show I did, the TLC show I did with him and Oswaldo, where we rebuilt my dad's old house. Steve has some bad news. I guess he ran into Dave over the weekend. Yes, Stephen?
Yes. How you guys doing, everybody?
Good to talk to you again, Stephen. You ran into Dave over the weekend, and you explained to him you had some bad news about the house I was rebuilding.
Yeah, that house that we did on TLC that our commander-in-chief designed, that would be you.
That you renovated. The point of the show was on TLC. You took your childhood home,
right?
Rehabbed it, made it beautiful new place, and then resold it.
Right.
The idea was that you were going to make a mint off of
it. Ended up losing $50,000 or so.
Small money to you. The fun of it was worth it.
True, but I didn't get rich. I like when people explain that they didn't get rich by giving away money.
But isn't it hard to get rich when you're already rich?
Well, that's a good point.
It's only richer.
That's a good point. Yeah, it's a good point.
Yeah.
Steven, unfortunately, in the process of doing this show, developed an arch rivalry with your dear friend Ace Ray. Ringworm Ray.
And then Oswaldo.
Yeah, well.
Steven, you want to say hi to Oswaldo, by the way?
Hey, Oz, what's up?
Hey, what's up, man?
Listen, I got very bad news. You got to come by. We got to go over to the house.
Why? Yeah, tell me what's going on with that house.
Yeah, well, that house, the design was great, you said. We said, no one's going to change this. This is beautiful the way we did it, right?
Right, right.
I went by there on Saturday. I got a friend visiting who I played football with. He wanted to see where we all did the work and watching the show. And I get there, and there's a huge construction crew remodeling the remodel.
Oh.
Really?
Tearing out walls.
6 months
later. And the closing doors up. Unbelievable.
How dare they finger paint over my masterpiece?
Yeah. Our masterpiece, all of our blood and sweat in that place, is now being changed.
Wow.
Yep, it's going to look like a castle.
I'll tell you, it's the final insult. All I did was lose money and lose hair and lose time on that godforsaken job, and now this. The final slap in the face.
And I told Ray what's going on, and he started to get, his tears started to well up in his eyes.
Yeah.
Like he worked so hard on it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. He spent 6 months putting one piece of tile in the master bathroom.
He asked, hey, did they touch my tile? That was his first question.
His tile.
He didn't care much about the whole house.
Wow. So really they're doing major work over there.
Yeah, they blew out like walls. If you go over there, you won't believe it. You'll be like, I cannot believe that this, the guy's going to put on the market, I heard, for $2.5 million.
No, please. Now really kill myself. Ozzy, get over there and torch the place. Pronto.
We were close to torching it.
We were torch?
Yes, use your torch.
God.
All right.
Da-da-da-da. And Stephen, while we have Stephen on the line, you know, he also happens to be a childhood friend of one Jim Brusca.
Here we go.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's another thing we got to get into it, probably.
Yeah, we do. Is it true that Brusca...
He's picking on my buddy, Jim Brusca.
I pick on him nothing. What about this? Tell us the story quickly about the midget.
Oh, no, we don't have time for the midget story. That's a two-break story.
He had sex on a midget.
No, he didn't have the actual intercourse. He just had her in the duffel bag zipped up and carrying her around the house.
Wow.
We'll get that at another time. All right.
But stop picking on him, you know, he's the hardest working guy probably, I know there, but maybe in the entire Los Angeles.
No,
I know.
Normally I would need your help to beat up Dave, but on this one I think I could beat up Dave on my own.
People do a lot of defending with the hard working, but mules are hard working animals. Doesn't mean you don't beat them and then leave them out in the rain.
You got a point, but he's also probably smarter, I bet you, than anybody there.
Oh, if that were true, we would all have to kill ourselves except for Ozzy immediately. All right, Ozzy, don't laugh. I was insulting you.
No worries.
All right, are you going to work today, Ozzy?
Yeah, we're working in Los Spa, baby.
You're going over to my wife's spa and do some work? Now, how do we seriously, maybe it's more comfortable to work this out, but I gave you some money last week, right? How do we work this off? How do we do this? You know, because I know you're poor and you have a big family. I don't want you to work for free. On the other hand, how are we going to chip away at that money I lent you last week?
I make a lot of thinkies, you know.
You make me a lot of what?
Thinkies.
Thinkies?
Thinkies.
You're going to think about it?
A think piece, like a movie review?
No, thinkies, you know. I take a lot of money, you know, a lot of...
Please get what you're trying to
do. No, imagine, like I said, building a house with Ozzy.
Wow.
All right, Ozzy, make me another enchilada. We'll be square.
There you go. Let him just cook for you. Make me
an enchilada the size of Alaska, and we'll be fine. All right, Stephen, thank you.
Hey, thanks, guys. Take care.
Okay, remodeling my masterpiece.
I didn't think you'd like that very much.
It was done. It was beautiful. It was finished. I put my heart and soul into that place.
Why don't they paint over the Sistine Chapel?
Yeah, while they're at it.
You know, it's no problem. It's the people change, you know, but nothing bad, you know. Very good, you know.
No, shut up. What are you doing over there? Are you working over there? You Benedict Arnold? All right. Ozzy, are you high?
I think he is.
No, I high the last Friday, man.
You were high last Friday?
You know, you see me?
You did some boozing?
No, I drink, you know, double portion to my medication.
Ah.
You know, the doctor increased the medication.
Mm-hmm.
I drink double. At the time I go pick out Sylvia,
mm-hmm.
I'm very high, man. You don't see me? You talk to me and make a decide.
You always wobble when I talk to you. All right. Oswaldo, thank you for bringing by the casserole, though.
No worry. Every time.
Okay. We'll take ourselves a break. Dave's got his jerk report. Also, we have a rabbi and a Muslim in here. We're going to play some Ass Kiss Rodeo. Dickie Barrett's coming up from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones. We'll do Jerk Report when we come back, or we're going to do the Religious War?
No,
we'll do the Jerk Report when we come back.
You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show. Call Adam now at 866-901-ADAM.
Mm-hmm. Dickie Barrett from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones is out in the hall. Also, we have the rabbi and the Muslim coming in here, going to play some Ask Us Rodeo. We'll decide on a religion for my unborn twins. But first, it's time for one Dave Damashek and his Jerk Report.
The Jerk Report with Dave Damashek reporting.
Let it begin. Right out of the gate, we got a jerk. And his name's Jim Brusca.
Yeah.
Why?
Use the mic, by the way, the one.
What do you mean, use the mic?
That thing in front of you picks up sound.
How much closer to the mic can I be?
Well,
you were a little far, you jerk.
About 9-10 inches, probably, if you want to get specific.
All right, if that wasn't clear enough, then
let it
be heard. Jim Brusca, number one on the list. Jerk!
Why is that?
Oh, Teresa, you do
so
not.
So naive.
Do you really want to wind up on the list?
No, I really
one
don't.
One more word.
I'm sorry.
Jerk!
that's another therapy session for me.
All right. Now, can I move on with the business?
Please.
Brusca, please.
Keep it
silence
short.
Yourself, too, or you'll be the first two-time winner in the same jerk report.
Wow.
How about this commercial? This commercial drives me crazy. For Metamucil, it's the most annoying commercial out there since the Applebee's one where the high school coach, you know, that one where he gets the picture hung up by the ladies' room at Applebee's. Metamucil, their big ad campaign is that if you use their product that makes you regular with your bowels, mm-hmm. your treat is this.
Metamucil presents The Regulars.
Bob, Ed, Bob, Jack, Jack, Ed.
Three guys in suits.
If you want to be one of the regulars, do what these regulars do. Day after day, take Metamucil Daily Fiber.
These guys, they keep going in and out of the bathroom. They're guys in suits. They work in the same place, so they go into the public bathrooms next to each other each day. So wait a second. So if I use your product, I can take a dump next to two guys, the same two guys, every day? What a treat.
Sounds like a lot of filthy glad handing going on, too. Bob, Ted, great seat. Was that the hand you just wiped your coolie with? Fantastic.
Oh, what'd you eat last night, Bob? Oh, that's horrific. Yeah.
Let me guess. You put ribs on pizza?
Think about what you do with your ads, please.
Okay. You're right. And also, when are those stalls going to make it down? When is that wall going to make it to the floor? It's the only wall that doesn't make it to the floor, and it's the only one we really need to make it to the floor.
Moment.
The shoes are the telltale. Everyone who works with you knows it's you. They can see your shoes.
Yep.
Yeah, those are Bob's filthy brown shoes.
Yep.
Yep.
That's Brusca and the wingtips.
Yep. They say it'll keep you regular. I say jerks. All right, next. Speaking of jerks, the celebrity jerk out there right now, Tom Cruise. We talked about him earlier. You saw him with Diane Sawyer. Here was the one moment that Diane Sawyer brought up to Tommy that really drove me crazy. Uh-oh. Here we go. His computer
is a Scientology name for a kind of enlightened spirit.
Which is OT7. Mm-hmm. Operating Thetan 7.
Thetan.
Why are you laughing?
It's funny hearing that coming from your mouth.
Why?
Because it just is. It's just nice.
OT7? Mm. What kind of made up hooey?
He's reached the Thetan level.
What does that mean?
This is coming from a guy who spent 26 hours this weekend playing fantasy baseball. He wants to know what it all means. What does it all mean?
Ladies and gentlemen. Hold the phone, ladies and gentlemen. We have a new entry.
Uh-oh.
Adam Carolla, jerk.
It's almost a clean sweep if Mike can manage to make his way into the jerk report.
I'm just saying.
He knows what's good for him. Just make with the buttons, and that's that.
I saw him pull up in that beautiful P-51 Mustang. Oh, here it is.
Oh. Fantasy baseball so lame. Dave Dameshek plays on 12 different teams. It's an ultra nerd version of an actual game. It's like the Olympics of wannabe athletes. And Dave Dameshek holds the flame. It's sad. Gay, downright embarrassing fantasy baseball so lame.
Well, just add another name
Rich
to the
Banks
list.
Rich Banks was the composer of that song?
Yes.
Well, guess what, Rich Banks, I hope you enjoyed. I hope it was fun. You got a lot of laughs in this room for it. I give you something, too. You're a jerk. That's right.
Who else?
Well, you know what? I'll close it out with this before I name the creep of the week.
Mm.
Speaking of fantasy baseball, Jew Hefners were my opponent this week. And
Jew Hefners?
That's their team name?
Jew Hefners.
Uh-huh.
And they defeated me. I'm now 0-2. I say they're jerks, too. And, of course, the creep of the week. for the ninth straight week. Mr. Barry Bonds, you are a creep, sir. Listen, I'm tired of people letting him off the hook. Everybody says, well, you know, steroids weren't on the banned substances list, you know. I'm like, oh, well, you know, he's just trying to... Listen, you are a creep. You don't... You should the feds go after him? Oh, it's a witch hunt. They're going after just him, not Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa. You know why everybody does that to you, Barry? You, that's why, because for the last 20 years, you've behaved yourself like a reprehensible creep. You deserve everything you get and more. Therefore, you are the creep of the week.
But not the jerk of the week.
That seems weird.
Oh, right, I forgot to mention that. Anyone who points out the fact that it's the jerk report, the creep of the week, is the different award, and then the song playing underneath is Creep by
creep,
Radio.
Right.
Anyone who points that out, jerk! So, Corolla, you've done it.
No.
The first two-time winner.
Well,
congratulations.
Perhaps if there's a band listening that could write a song called Jerk, so we wouldn't have to keep using the confusing creep during the jerk report.
Mm-hmm. Interesting
idea.
We'd
be in better shape. Speaking of bands, dear friend Dickie Barrett from the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones going to be in here in just one moment. Also the announcer for Jimmy Kimmel Live, by the way. We have the rabbi and the Muslim. They're going to square off, play a little Ass Kiss Rodeo. All that after this.
Call Adam now, 866-901-ADAM, the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow, there you go.
It's like I never left the air.
Dickie on Dickie.
That's
I rented that this weekend. Dickie Barrett in studio. Dear friend.
How are you, pal?
Good to see you, Dickie.
Good to see you as well.
Mighty Mighty Boss Tones, one of my favorite bands. Great, great concert. You know, here's the whole thing about concerts. You have to examine, do you like the music? But that's not the end all and be all. You have to decide what kind of music is it? How is it going to translate? And here's what you really have to think about when you think about a concert. Sure, there's three or four songs I know from this band that I like, but I'm only going to hear those three or four, and then there are going to be another 22 songs. Am I going to like the 22 I haven't heard? That's why you went to Boss Tones. You went the horn section. You went the guy. It's Joe Gittleman. Who's the dancer?
That was Ben Carr.
Ben Carr.
Joe played the bass.
Joe played the bass. That's
Ben
right.
Carr. Says hello, by the way.
Ben Carr is going to be dancing on stage.
Not his real name.
Not a great
dancer. I changed
dancer.
His name because I like to say Carr. As often as possible.
It was automobile.
The whole thing about the Boss Tones is they traveled with a guy who just danced on stage, and he got an equal cut, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All eight of us.
Well, yeah, the Boss Tones put out, they put on a show. They showed up in the suits. They didn't show up in the grungy t-shirts and so on and so forth. They straddled the line as a rock band.
Yeah.
So a performance.
It's been 2 years, by the way, since we've done a show. And I'm currently I'm the late night announcer on the Jimmy Kimmel Show, which leads me to this question. Who books your guests on this show?
It's a good point.
Yeah.
Mike August.
This is very thin Monday.
Yeah, although he normally only books from within the building. So.
I saw Mike yesterday, by the way. That's how I got booked.
I'm actually a receptionist downstairs.
Yes,
August brought you up?
Yeah.
Yeah, you have to start somebody. In the building, otherwise you can't come
August,
on the show.
August books by who he runs into.
Right.
Hey, you want to do the show sometime this week?
Yeah, but he runs
I
with
ran into him in the food line over at Cousin Mickey's house for Easter. And he, of course, he was his third trip. And I said, hey, I have no one for tomorrow. Could you come by? Could you save my ass?
Yeah. We have to actually
call it.
I don't want to hurry along, but Uncle Frank's coming in a few minutes, so I have to kind of move the interview along. Dickie, I met the... Well, where to start? So many good stories. First off, as I've said before, the Boss Tones I met during some big concert about 10, 11 years ago. I was nobody. They didn't know who I was. I just happened by their tour bus. I walked in. They invited me in. Somebody handed me a beer, and they told me to sit down. There was no ass-kissing going on. They didn't know me from Adam, pardon the pun. I was just a regular schmo walking around. They said, come on in.
Yeah, but backstage at a big festival concert like that, you were the most normal-looking guy.
Thank
so we're
you.
Looking out the window going, all right, we're tired. I'm tired of these other seven guys hanging out. And women wouldn't come near the thing. So they said, hey, we could probably drink with that guy. You came walking up. And by the way, it paid off.
Yeah.
I attribute that to being on television now, having the Jimmy job.
Sure, you met
Here's
me, then you met Jimmy.
If you're in a band, be nice to people at radio shows and at behind the scenes at concerts. It pays off.
Well, Dickie, later on, Dickie helped me out again in Washington, D.C. for the RF What the hell did they call that?
UHF Wolves knew that.
We got to figure out big station over there, and they actually would sell
HMS.
Out HMS Festival, and they would sell out RFK Stadium in Washington, D.C.
Right. Now, we were a big band. No, you don't mean us.
You were on the bill with Beck and a whole bunch of other, you know, this is 8-10 years ago, and there were 60,000-70,000 people there, and they flew me out just to do a stage announcement, just to bring on one band. And I got food poisoning from boozing too much with Andy Dick the night before and eating soft shell crab. I was heaving. I couldn't walk. I got myself up about noon, took a cab, and staggered into the Boston's area. And they filled me with Gatorade and love. They got me on my feet and I was able to get out on stage.
More Gatorade than love.
The Marie Curie of musicians.
Well, was it?
Love equals semen.
It was Gatorade with they call it a sack charge. It's Gatorade with a semen floater. They drop it. The boys all go into they drop it right in, starts foaming like crazy. You got to drink it fast. It's the only way to do a sack sinker. Yeah, sorry.
But once again, the message I want to make is it paid off. Years later, I had a radio show, some call it that, and 2 weeks into it, against and Adams was at a competitive station, mm-hmm. and still is, he was my second week of shows. He came in against everybody's better judgment. I don't think you told anybody, really.
No.
And you felt the wrath, though. You felt the heat.
Yes. I got yelled at by my program director for going when Dickie was on Indy 103 for going and dealing with a competitor's radio station.
Three of the funniest hours at that time of me being on the air was just endlessly funny. It was advice for where I should be. And turns out you were right. I shouldn't be on the air in this marketplace.
No. And it turned out you were thrown off.
Yeah.
What happened?
Dickie's a sweet man. Dickie is the greatest disparity between tough looking, looks like a could be a mean dude, scary looking, nicest man there is.
Sweetheart. Yes.
Is this Ask Kiss Rodeo? Are we in?
Later on, I got a lot of stories with you, Dickie. You and I, Dickie was the one I went to the Grammys with when I went with the Dixie Chicks, by the way. We traveled separately.
That was your original date.
You were my original date. Yeah. Also, there's a good story about Dickie, tell us, I always think about this, because you won't eat peanut butter sandwiches anymore, right?
Oh, you know that story?
Yes.
How do you remember that?
Because I think you told me we're in the back of the limo heading to the Grammys, the Dixie Chicks. But it's an interesting strategy because I love peanut butter and I eat too much peanut butter. It's high calories, nothing but fat. Dickie won't eat it anymore.
At 17 years of age, I bought a train ticket. I thought I'd never travel anyway. Turns out I traveled all over the world after that. But I said, if I'm going to travel, you know, I'm about to start my life of 9-to-5 job, menial labor, or whatever, bartending, or whatever it was I was going to do. And so I said, I'm going to try to see this country. So I bought an Amtrak ticket across the country and ended up in San Diego. And from
there. So you're coming from Boston to San Diego?
Boston to San Diego. 3-day trip. Nice trip. And I had about $200.
And you're traveling alone?
Yes.
At 17?
Yes.
Okay.
And I said, I'll go into Mexico. You know, so I had a hotel room in San Diego. I'm going to Mexico. Mm-hmm. Went to Tijuana. They told somebody there said, you know, you can get on that bus for 50 cents and you can go to Cabo San Lucas. And I said, mm-hmm. I'll take that. The horrendous bus ride. Then in Cabo San Lucas, they said, you can get on that boat and you can go over to Puerto Vallarta. Mm-hmm. I go, whoa, that sounds great. And you picture kind of the love boat pulling into Puerto Vallarta. This was like a tub that the love boat, it was 10 times smaller than the love boat, and it was
Dickie originally described it as a donkey with pontoons. they'll put wheels on a donkey over there, they'll put pontoons on a donkey, they'll put skis on a donkey.
I was the only no one's whiter than me, so
right.
And it was a boat full of Mexican
you blend
workers.
Right in over there with your pasty skin and pronouncing car ka.
Sunglasses, wraparound sunglasses and spiky hair.
So now are you out of money at this point?
No, I didn't. Not till I got back up to San Diego. Then I'm completely out of money. I bought a bottle of tequila for the long train ride from Mexico City up to Juarez, and then I had to take another bus back to Tijuana and then to San Diego where I'm going to get my train again. And all I had was about $10, and I bought a bag of bread and some water and some Jameson whiskey because St. Patrick's Day was coming up.
Sure.
Right. In 3 days, yeah. And about day two.
You brought
of the
a
trip.
Tub of. Didn't you buy a tub of peanut butter as
yeah.
well?
I You're 17. Shouldn't you be in school?
Jar of Jiffy. School. I had time for that later.
That's right.
So you covered the food groups with the peanut butter, the bread, the water, and the Jamesons.
Right. Yeah. Well, the water I was drinking off, that was the train water. That probably wasn't a good idea either.
Right.
And the Jamesons went in about 2 hours.
Right.
The peanut butter lasted me all 3 days. But in the course of those days, I'm listening to train announcements going, please join us in our dining car. It's St. Patrick's Day for our, we got a corned beef and cabbage dinner.
And you had no money.
Peanut butter. I had no money. No, I wasn't joining anybody. I sat in my seat and ate the peanut butter and bread, and I haven't had a peanut butter sandwich.
So you ate like 41 peanut butter and jelly sandwiches inside.
Jelly.
Peanut butter.
I wish.
That's
sorry.
For kings.
Dreamer.
Peanut butter and phlegm sandwiches inside
over,
of 2 days. And
the guy had a jar of jelly and a bag of bread himself, and he did not want to share. Said, I'm not eating that peanut butter.
I say smart. You know, you do this with the cigarette smoke, you get your kid to throw up after blowing smoke in his face, he doesn't become a smoker.
Yeah.
You do it with peanut butter, because I wish someone had gotten
dad.
Me off of that.
I know.
Oh, yeah.
He's already saving up for a
pack
call
of cigarettes.
Girl fund for the
yeah.
kid we learned earlier.
I heard that on the drive-in. That's an excellent idea.
Which one?
The one where you're gonna hire a call girl.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to put a quarter in a jar.
Right.
You know, that's the call girl fund that goes along with
right.
the college.
Nickel
fund.
For the college, right. quarter for the call girl. I'm telling you, it's about personal momentum, and it's about letting the ladies know you've arrived. If you got a foxy, high-class call girl to escort your son through the 11th grade, even if it's just the first semester, he's got so much momentum now in the ladies department, you can pull her out of there. He's just going to get laid, and that momentum's going to carry into college, yeah. and his self-esteem's going to go through the roof, and that's it. It's on.
And then Dave suggested a Lakers girl.
He'll have herpes by the time he's 17. No problem. I know. Don't listen to Dave.
A Lakers girl!
Quiet.
You think they can be bought and sold?
We're taking a break. Dickie from the Boss Stones here, also from Jimmy Kimmel Live, doing the announcing, of course. We have our beautiful Muslim lady, but where's our rabbi? Is she not here yet?
I just got a car. The rabbi was in an auto accident. She's waiting for police.
Oh.
I think she's okay. She's
do you have a street address there, Breska? You can send the cops over.
We'll,
Dickie, you'll fill in as the rabbi if we need that.
Oh, yeah.
We'll take a quick break. We'll settle that, but we'll do more with Dickie after this.
Smarten up. You're listening to the Adam Carolla Show.
Dickie Barrett is here.
I wrote that myself.
Smarten
up.
Nice.
Yeah.
Smarten up.
You should have seen the ones Breska gave me.
Dickie is the new voice of our show, the former voice of Indy 103, and the current voice of the Jimmy Kimmel Show. Almost forgot the name. Jimmy Kimmel Live. I always hesitate to call it live because it's not live anymore, but it's still Jimmy Kimmel Live, right?
Right. Yeah, well, that's what I read every night.
Yeah. Nice job, bud.
Why do you dislike Kimmel so much, Dickie?
You're talking about me?
Yeah.
I love the man dearly.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. We're on the air. All right. I see. Whatever.
Trying to stir up controversy.
Wow. Poking me with a sharp stick.
Sharp cock.
Dickie. Broke bread with him yesterday, Dave.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
at the potty you crashed.
I understand. We're on the air. You don't want to put him down.
I'm shocked you'd even say that.
What's going on with the Boss Tones, by the way?
It's been 2 years since we played a show, and we haven't, I think, once a Boss Tone. I'll be a Boss Tone for the rest of my life, but I got, like Teresa here, I got tired of being on the road,
mm-hmm.
being out there. It's a lot of work. I did about 15, close to 20 years of being out there, and that's the only way to do the Boss Tones and sustain a living for the eight of us.
Yeah, well, what about...
It was structured poorly from the very beginning.
You mean you can't... Yeah, you can't do 10 gigs a year. You have to do 100.
Yeah. Well, you have to do more, even more than that.
Really?
Yeah. You have to just be out there consecutively. Yeah. Unless you're Aerosmith or U2 or one of those bands where you can do 15 shows.
Yeah, that's what I would be.
I wish.
Of course.
I would be Aerosmith. I would be.
That's what you should have been.
But then you got to lose the horns, and then you got to lose the...
I would be...
You got to hire a talented singer.
Aero 2. I would do both. I'd be you, Aero. Smith guy. I'd be both of them.
Can we take a call?
Yeah, Super Dave is on the phone. Super Dave Osborne.
He called in?
Yes.
Hey, how you doing, Adam?
He's a big fan of the show. I know he's a big fan of Dickie's. Good to talk to you, Super Dave.
I miss you, buddy.
I gotta go.
Really?
Okay. Thanks for calling.
No, no, you called us.
Oh, I did?
Yes.
And let me, why did you say you're going to be a Boston for the rest of your life?
Well, that's the truth.
Well, why'd you be a Beatle if you're not in a group? Why be a Boston for the rest of your life? That's like saying I'll always love that girl.
That's true. That's a good point. But you could be...
I'm not here to make points.
Yeah,
I'm not taking a final exam in case anyone...
No, I'm not saying... I'm agreeing with you, Super Dave. If you're going to be something for the rest of your life, you might as well be a Led Zeppelin and not a
Beatles.
Yeah. Not a Savage
Beatles.
Garden.
Two of the Beatles are gone. You could be George.
Once a Boston, always a Beatle, I say.
Exactly.
Is that the way to do it?
Hey, I got to tell you something. First of all, Adam, you're doing a great job.
Thanks, Super.
And... I love Dickie's show, too.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, you were part of the team.
He got fired. I mean, they called him in. He thought they were calling him in to give him a bigger parking space. And they said three things. One, don't go to commercial in the second segment tomorrow like you had been. Two, we like the music you're playing in the front. And three, get out of the building. And they never heard from him again. They had an avalanche of calls. And they wouldn't put him through. And it's really sad. Dickie got up at like 3 in the morning every day and drove that little electric sewing machine to work. and did 4 hours of, as you know, Adam, four hours of radio is a long time.
Yes. And you did it a couple times with me, right?
For no reason.
Hello, can you hear? Is your earpiece working okay?
Mine?
You need a new phone, pal.
Why? What's wrong with my phone?
Where are you right now?
Listen to me. Stop calling me.
Are you in the desert?
Yeah.
Super.
What
do you have? I know Dickie just called you during the break and threw you on the phone, but do you have anything coming up, anything you'd like to plug, anything we should look out for?
Well, hopefully Curb Your Enthusiasm will be coming back soon.
Oh, please. What a great show.
Oh, yeah. I love that show. It's great. And a couple of other things. But
are you on that show?
What?
Yes.
Oh, no, I just love to watch it. I'm just telling you what I'm looking forward to. I'm looking forward to the NBA playoffs and watching Curb Your Enthusiasm. That's all.
Thank you, Super Dave.
Thank you. Is this all, Adam?
Yes, come in.
What are you going to, then?
Well, we're running late, actually. We got to go to a commercial.
But it's 9 o'clock. You have another hour.
I know, but we have to have commercials.
Let's put the commercial off. Let's talk a little bit.
They got more great guests like me coming in, Dave.
Have you been the guest the whole morning?
No, I just did I did one segment.
Dickie had a band on once. It was an English band. And I was in there, and they came in, and I was sitting in the chair. They thought I was the host. And Dickie kept asking him questions, and they would swear at him. They were drunk.
And then turned to Dave and go, who the hell's this tosser here?
Said, Dave,
what do you need him for?
This guy asking me questions. I said, I don't know. And the first question Dickie said was, maybe this is why he was fired, actually, but... He said, so you guys are touring the United States? They said, F no.
Mm.
He said, we got Detroit and we're doing one gig here in a bar.
I read in an interview later that they said, we were on the Mighty Dave show and I loved it.
I loved that guy, but Dickie was a pain.
Yeah, his co-host.
Anyway, I want to announce I do have something coming up. I'm taking over for the Mighty Morning Show.
Oh, wow. This is great.
Yeah. Really?
Dickie's a good friend and I thought I'd do him a favor and just carry on.
How backstab me like that?
Hey, Adam, when am I going to be on your show?
Soon as you run into Mike August at a party.
Who is that?
Oh, he's our booker.
Oh, he's getting some real good guests.
Yeah,
have him call me. My number's unlisted.
He only books within the building, so if you can get a gig here at the building.
I know. I was doing the Spanish show this morning. That's why I called in.
You're in.
Hector and Lorenzo. We're number one.
All right. Thank you, Super Dave. We'll have you on as soon as we can.
Good work, my friend, and don't go to the office because Dickie can sometimes get you fired.
I miss you.
All right. So
don't call me again.
We need to take a break. Running behind. Dickie.
Thanks for having me, pal.
Thanks for coming on. Everyone, watch Jimmy Kimmel Live tonight at 12:06 on ABC. And what else, Dickie? Anything else?
Not much else. This is it. This is my biggie here.
Well, you can listen for Dickie on this show, and you can watch him on Jimmy Kimmel Live. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with the news, the sports, and some Ask Kiss Rodeo, Muslim style, after this.
Hey, Adam, it's Andy Dick, and I just wanted to say you are one sexy son of a bitch.
Yes, I am. 866-901-ADAM. We have some news and some sports to get to. First, a couple more names for the Twins. George?
Yes.
You have good names for my Twins?
I certainly hope so. The names may sound a little weak, but it's all about the initials that go with them.
Mm.
For the boy, I got Tony Hollywood Corolla.
Mm-hmm.
Giving him the great initials of THC.
Mm-hmm.
And for your daughter, Connie D. Corolla, giving her the CDC.
Mm-hmm.
Center for Disease Control? That's what I would think of for CDC.
That's pretty much what I was thinking. It was the only thing I could otherwise that I could think of was C.
Okay. Thank you.
No problem.
All right. See?
You're not impressed.
No, but it always makes me feel extra smart and extra funny whenever I talk to people who call the show. Because what's the alternative? They're a hell of a lot funnier than you are, and they're driving a bakery truck? It's better this way. It's disappointing, but once you get over the disappointment, then you realize, especially when they announce, I got a great name for the kids.
Isn't it redundant, though, with having me here every day?
Touche. Smartest thing you've ever said, Damashek. All right, where are we? The Ed is on the phone. The Ed calling in from Las Vegas. He's a seasoned gentleman. Calls in every Monday, tells us what went on Desperate Housewives. Ed?
Hey, Dave, how you doing?
Good, I'm Adam.
What's happening, the Ed?
Oh, I thought Adam was... Oh, hey, Adam, how you doing?
What's happening, the Ed?
Oh, nothing much. Just the same old thing out here. It's windy today. You gotta wear your jacket.
In Las Vegas, huh?
Oh, yeah, it's windy out. I got the paper, it blew away.
It did. All right. Yeah. They'll do that. And that's how you know it's windy. Hold up a newspaper. It blows away. And you watched Desperate Housewives last night?
Yeah, I did again. I love that show.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you for telling me to watch it.
That's quite all right. There'll be other shows I tell you to watch as well.
Yeah, maybe so.
Mm-hmm.
And then, want me to tell you what happened?
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, the red-haired lady, you know, I like her a lot. Her name is Bree.
Mm-hmm.
She gets her court case closed with her gay son because her dad knows the judge.
Oh, really?
Her mom, yeah, he knows him.
Mm-hmm.
Her mom and dad decide that her son is better off living with them in another state.
Mm-hmm.
So Bree says, okay, and they start packing the boy's stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Well, while they're packing, they come across some gay movies and some homo-type toys.
Ooh.
And once her dad sees
excuse me for jumping in, Ed, but how do you know if it's a gay toy as opposed to a heterosexual toy?
When you see something that's purple and red and green and all that stuff, you know it ain't regular.
I wasn't saying like vibrators as opposed to
that's
Connect Four. I meant a... All right, well,
just because it's owned by a man.
Yeah, we'll just keep moving. I guess you could let your nose suss that one out. But go ahead, Ed. Sorry.
Well, once her dad sees this, he says, "Ain't no fags moving in the miles," and he leaves.
Wow.
So now the gay boy ain't getting no money or a new truck.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like the old saying, "Being gay just don't pay."
That's been around for a while, huh? It's funny because gay used to mean something else, so you don't think it'd go back that long. You know, if it went back 70 years, it'd be being happy just doesn't pay.
Hmm. Well, the blonde-haired lady...
I always said go homo or go home. Go homo or go home. I think it's a nice bumper sticker.
I never heard that.
Yeah.
The blonde-haired lady's little boy got into a lot of trouble.
Mm-hmm.
He asked a little girl at school to pull down her pants and show her private parts, and he'd give her a cookie.
Wow.
He got in a lot of trouble for that, but he didn't seem to care, because later in the show, he asked an old white lady to do the same thing, and he offered her a popsicle.
Wow. That melted. It was... Yeah.
Then the Gabriella and her husband, they went to court to get custody of the little baby.
Mm-hmm.
The baby's real parents didn't show up to court, so the judge let Gabriella and her husband have the baby.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Gabriella finds out this baby ain't nothing but a crybaby and cries all the time.
Mm-hmm.
She gets the maid to watch the baby for her. And one time she gave the maid the day off and she forgot, and she left the baby by himself and went out for dinner.
Wow.
She's not a real good mother.
No.
You know, that's the first show that they showed her being a mom, so she might get better, because, you know, I really like her.
Sure, yeah. Is that Eva Longoria?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Ed, you like her? She's your favorite one, best looking?
Yeah, I'd like to marry her.
I know you like Lois, too, from Lois and Clark.
Well, no, Lois' face looks funny now, like she had a stroke.
Well, she's...
That's just a little bit of bad
That's
Botox.
From kissing Ryan Seacrest. That's what it is. He sucks the life out of you.
Out of like, half of you.
It's like that cat in that movie with Drew Barrymore or something. He just sucks the breath out of you. You age.
Is she with the American Idol boy?
That's what I hear.
I like that show.
Okay. Well, perhaps you can report on that one as well.
Lois and her husband call off their three-way marriage, and they finally sleep together for the first time in 3 years. That sure is a long time not to get no loving.
Yeah, it really is. And especially in 8 years, that's a lifetime.
Oh, I know.
Ed, I'm sorry to cut you short, but we're running kind of late this morning.
So, well, I got a baby name for you.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I got a boy and a girl coming.
Well, I only got boy names because that's all I got.
Okay.
Well, I like Edward.
All right. That's your name. Okay. Edward. All right.
Interesting.
And I also like the name Bill. And because every name have to have a significant meaning.
Mm-hmm.
So if you name the baby Bill, and you and your wife, for some reason, separate, that's all he going to be is just a Bill.
Oh, I see. I get
rim shot.
Yeah, nice. Thank you, Edward. We appreciate that.
Have a good day.
You too. All right. We,
Ed's going through some tough times.
Yeah.
It's windy, though.
Obviously, blew the paper away. Get a chance to finish the USA Today. All right, we're going to take a break. Oh, we'll take a break, and then we'll come back and do some news and sports after this.
Hi, this is Seth MacFarlane from Family Guy, and you're listening to The Adam Carolla Show.
Yes, you is. All right, now we're back. 866-901-ADAM. Mike has a quick question before news and sports. Mike?
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah, I was just wondering what happened to the Chief.
Chief Thunderbear?
Seen him, yeah.
Yeah. I think we'll work Chief Thunderbear into the sports. We're just talking about what to do with him.
Okay.
All right.
Chief Thunderbear is going to make an appearance.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, he will.
I think I saw him in the green room earlier. Was that him?
Probably him.
Okay.
He was wearing a lot of pelts.
Yes.
Eating pemmican and drinking stream water.
Tried to trade me some shells for a Pellegrino.
Yeah.
I asked Dr. Drew if he'd seen him, but no, he hadn't.
Thank you for that, Mike.
Yeah.
We'll bring him in during the sports.
Okay.
You look forward to Chief Thunderbear making an appearance on the show.
All righty, then.
Thanks, buddy boy.
Sure.
All right. Now, it is time for Teresa Strasser and the news.
Well, it's tax day. You had an extra 2 days to do your taxes, but if you haven't done them, time's up. You must either have your paper returns postmarked by today or file electronically by midnight. And also, the IRS is issuing a stern warning. If you receive any email that says it's from the IRS, it is not. They do not communicate with taxpayers via email. Those are phishing scams. I don't know if you've gotten any of these, but they ask you for information. They say they're the IRS, they need an update, but they're not, so don't give out any information.
I don't spend a ton of time on the computer. That's my thing. So I never get scammed that way. There's other scams I get. I have family for that. I don't need the IRS and the computer scams.
Inter-family schemes?
Yes. Well, no, not schemes, but it's like my wife said she wanted to get her dad a car, and I realized over the weekend that will now be three cars that I lease or buy for family members or, you know, in-laws or whatever, and I thought, wow, it's getting up there. This close to being black. This close.
You're one car away from MC Hammer.
This close away from being a rap star. Yeah.
In the trial.
Not to mention the 147 cars you have for yourself.
Well, right. It's hard to tell people they can't have a car. Yeah, drive around that broken down celebrity old man, the one that's burning oil. I must get myself another car on eBay. Sure.
Okay, I know you guys want to know what's going on in the Zacharias Moussaoui trial. Mm. It resumes today. Would-be shoe bomber Richard Reed will not be testifying.
Mm.
Just as well. This guy, Moussaoui's buried himself a million times over, it seems like, already.
Mm. I was just thinking to myself, I don't know why I'm stuck on names for my kids. Would-be a good name. Would-be Corolla. What, you want to be a Corolla? No, would-be Corolla. Would-be, yeah, especially if you had a crazy name like Shoemaker or something, last name. Would-be Shoemaker. What are you currently doing? You know what I mean?
Well, you could have would-be and wannabe.
Ooh, that's good. Which one's the chick?
Probably wannabe Hollywood Corolla.
Yeah, yeah, and the wood, getting wood, it's a good one. Yeah, would-be Hollywood Corolla. Wannabe.
Just a thought.
I'm going to pitch would-be and wannabe when I get home. So, Moussaoui.
Moussaoui.
There's another good name.
Most, but I don't think you should.
I think it's out of favor now.
Zacharias, Hollywood, Corolla. All right, the point is this guy did horrible damage to himself already by taking the stand and yapping about wanting to fly fifth plane into the White House. We have exclusive tape. I don't know if you guys are aware of this. He said other things that were just as damning, if not more. If you're an American, you'll be outraged by this.
I wished to go to PBS and visit the set of Sesame Street and push the cameras down to reveal they are all puppets. Take that, American childhood.
Wow.
I meant to go to Pennsylvania, break into the Hershey factory, and pour barrels of X-Lax into the chocolate vats. I intended to kidnap all of Bob Barker's spayed and neutered pets and reattach their genitals. Ah, the irony.
Just the science. I mean, that one sounds impractical, but just the science, you know, actually hooking up the plumbing after cat or dogs are spayed or neutered.
That would take hours.
Yeah,
he
one would take.
He puts a lot of thought into it.
Yeah. You gotta give him that. He's creative.
Yeah.
Well, really? thank God that's it, because I can't take any more from this madman.
So disturbing.
I wanted to go to the U.S. Treasury, wipe my ass with one single dollar bill, and then put it back into circulation.
Bruska's favorite.
Break into the Supreme Court chambers and force the other justices to gangbang Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
No!
Well, except for Clarence Thomas. He has to work the video camera.
To defile Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
I will reassemble the 1980 U.S. Olympic hockey team and force them to play naked. And I laugh when the ice makes their genitals shrink.
Thank God somebody got hold of this madman and we dragged him into court when we did. Because if he'd completed just half of what he'd set out to do, I mean...
Even the dollar thing, just a single dollar.
Just knowing.
The ice cream thing. I need the chocolate X-Lax.
Yeah. All right. I'm sorry, Teresa.
Okay. In entertainment news on The Sopranos last night, when a high-ranking mobster turns out to be gay, his life is in jeopardy. Apparently, according to mafia rules, homosexuality, totally taboo, except in prison. Mm. Here's Phil breaking the news to Vito's wife that Vito may be gay.
There's been confirmation through the grapevine. Vito was seen in a car with a man. I don't want to get graphic beyond that. The idea of it repulses me so much.
I had no idea that there were so many Italian slang words for gay.
I didn't either.
There was like six in one episode.
I know.
Fanuc.
Yeah, right. They're great. I would like Phil Leotardo. If I was Phil Leotardo, I would start a service for $500, I'll tell your parents you're gay. Because there's a lot of gay guys out there. They got a little diddled when they were young. They got a little payback coming. Stepdad diddled them. They want to screw with them now. Maybe their dad's a born again or something. Really gave them a rough childhood. Ostracized them. It would be the best $500 you ever spent. This guy does five or six of these a day. He's a rich man. Phil Leotardo comes in, sits your folks down, tells them, Bill, board up Bill, do your folks know you're gay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But I would have loved that idea.
Is there another family member we could have him break the news
to? I've got a born-again brother I'd like to tell him again.
Oh, really?
I'd like to tell him again that I'm gay. Yeah.
If he's born again, you should be able to tell him twice.
Yeah, at least.
Well, that's what we'll do.
Always painful for him.
Yeah, we'll get Phil Leotardo to come in there, sit him down, and explain to him you're gay one more time.
Or, I'm sure, listen, we should do that. If there's somebody out there who's gay but hasn't told his parents yet, call in and we'll arrange to have Phil Leotardo do it.
Or we could just play that clip. That pretty much explains.
Yeah, we could play the clip, but better
to have it be personalized.
Yeah.
Vito was seen in a car with a man. I don't want to get graphic beyond that. The idea of it repulses me so much.
It's a very sensitive way of communicating to a family member.
He wouldn't use Vito. You know, whatever your name is,
insert.
We would slide it in there. Right. Yeah. And then he'd break the news to your family. It's a plan.
Now go home and get your f***ing shine box.
And they'd be like, well, we're at our house, Phil.
Now go home and get your f***ing shine box.
All right, Guns N' Roses, I don't know if you guys are fans, but they are booked to play two shows in Manhattan next month. If Axl Rose can manage to not cancel, these will be the first two GNR shows since 2002.
Well, is it, you know, I can never figure it out. Like, I know Slash is always high and drunk and everything, but he still manages to play. Sweetest guy in the world, by the way. Slash, sweet, gentle guy. It's funny how just nice he is when you meet him. But everyone else is ready to go. Can Axl just play a set? I mean, I know there's some history, some bad blood, some infighting, whatever. It's been 10 years. Just go up on stage and do the song that you used to do that everyone likes. Can you do it? Is Axl high, or is he drunk, or is he that effed up?
Someone will fill in for him at the busboy job. I'm sure he's working now.
No, he's got money.
Yeah, they had a lot of hits. Paradise City, This Sweet Child of Mine.
Yeah, the whole thing about rock bands is you can never figure out whether they hung on to their money or whether they've lost their money. But I was at a Ferrari dealership about 6 months ago, and I looked at one of those Enzo Ferraris, and that's the million-dollar one that was going down PCH that broke in half after getting an accident at 160 miles an hour. And I thought it was his because the guy said, "Do you know whose Ferrari that is?" By the way, don't ever say that, because like anyone has an answer. What am I going to do, sniff the exhaust pipe? Yeah, that's Sheryl Crow's. Just tell me who it is, you J.O. That's Axl Rose's. So he has it's a million-dollar car, and it's a year old. So if he has $1 million to buy a car somewhere in the last year, I guess he's doing okay.
He might have some scratch, or he's making horrible decisions.
Right.
His finances.
Right.
Either way, I wish them well because I was always a big fan.
Yeah, let's go see him.
Okay, last Saturday.
I hate to jump in,
yes,
but we just got this on the hotline.
Just in.
There's another Moussaoui tape. I know, it's hard to listen to. We feel like we have to play it because this is the news.
It's news.
It's a breaking story.
Okay.
I was going to hire Hollywood special effects technicians to re-edit Rocky IV. So the Russians win.
Drago.
But make vigorous love to the Olsen twins, and then use the original manuscript for Grapes of Wrath to mop up the wet spot.
They're really going Hollywood.
I wanted to go to McDonald's headquarters, kidnap Mayor McCheese, and force him to have gay sex with the Grimace.
Yeah, no, that would be...
the Grimace, anyways.
I am kind of with him on the who the hell's the Grimace. He's purple. He doesn't represent any of the food groups. Not sure what he's doing. Yeah, but still, that would be very difficult for your children to watch.
Mayor That's McCheese. Upsetting.
Yeah.
Is there anything more from Moussaoui?
No.
I can't be anymore.
I will kidnap your beloved Star Jones and sever her vocal cords so she can never appear on The View again.
Wow.
Wait. Is it wrong that doesn't sound so bad?
Perhaps we should let him out for just one more caper.
To do one last
just
caper.
Just one last thing and hope he doesn't go to the McDonald headquarters. Hope he heads over to Star Jones's place.
Or to touch the classic Rocky IV.
All right, there's no more.
Drago?
No.
Okay. Last Saturday at a sorority formal at Kent State University, the girls were giving out joke awards, including an award for the blackest member, which went to a white girl. Several black students in the audience not amused.
Mm.
The sorority is now on probation, and the girls are required to take sensitivity training.
Was it one of those things where she listened to the most hip-hop music and did the most slang? Was it one of those things?
Yeah, it was a jokey award, and I guess, you know, the way you might joke that Jerron is the whitest.
Uh-huh.
They felt that she was the blackest, and apparently that was insensitive.
Interesting.
And they'll be on probation. That's it. I'm Teresa Strasser. That's the news.
It's time for Dave Damashek's number one sports. Number one sports. Do it, Dave.
Bruska trying to outsmart me now. He just wrote a card saying, go real long. But it's trickery that I shan't fall prey to. Now, we have Chief Thunder Bear here, so let me just say this. The regular season of the NBA is winding down. L.A. Kobe's going into the playoffs like a cheat on the Serengeti. That's the new one. It replaces Rooster in a Hen House, or Bat Out of Hell, or Bull in a China Shop, or Ace's suggestion, Ferret Launched from a Potato Gun.
Fired
from a potato gun.
I like Ferret fired from a potato gun.
All right, so that's the new one.
Yes.
All right.
That illustrates speed.
I follow.
All right.
L.A. whipped the Suns last night. Those are the two teams that are going to play in the playoffs. Kobe went for 43 points, but he's not getting a lot of attention. Oh, the big debate going in sports circles is now, who should be the NBA's MVP, Chief Thunderbear? Do you think Kobe Bryant, 43 points, he averages 35 points a game. Should he win the MVP?
Well, let me go get him in here. Let's just bring him. Chief Thunderbear. Get on the mic. Yeah, he won the.
Well, that's an interesting point. He will just be the fourth player in NBA history to average 35 a
game.
Well, that's right. Will Chamberlain got an MVP when he did it. Rick Barry, and of course, Michael Jordan. Well, you know, when you're right, you're right. Steve Nash did make the Suns a lot better than they otherwise would have been.
It was just his
efforts that helped them to overcome the loss of Amari Stoudemire all season long. LeBron James, of course, is who you're talking about. They were a moribund franchise, and now they're the fourth seed, so I guess that deserves some consideration.
Tuck and sock. Hey, ho, honey, catch it, Nana, catch in the
Can't disagree that the German Dirk Nowitzki did have a fantastic season.
One blonde Sasquatch.
He is a rare guy for that size to be able to shoot the ball from the perimeter. You couldn't be more correct about that.
Bean pole with mullet.
Well, if there is any competition, as you say, you know, LeBron James only had Zydrunas Ilgauskas. I can't pronounce it the way you can. Zydrunas Ilgauskas.
Number one sports, my ass. Top 10, maybe.
Well, okay. Now, let's talk about the Lakers and the Suns. Now,
Lakers,
who do you like in that?
Minnesota. 10,000 Lake. Lando Lake. Butter girl, tight piece of ass. Throwing wigwam. Make do hump the buffalo. Nice him.
Okay, so you take the Suns there. And then the Clippers, though, you know, that's a big story going on right now, too, is that they are supposedly intentionally losing games so that they get the sixth seed rather than the fifth because they like the opponent better. You think the Nuggets are a better team for them to play?
Hey, one, hey, checky, a nugget, wah, hey, one, Clipper, wah,
Well, Mark Cuban is a jerk, but still, the Mavericks are a tougher team, so.
Then, whoa, Cuban, one, that K, pussy with their plane, kakaya, hey,
I don't really think their uniforms are going to have
any loincloth. Hey, sack fly.
Well, Avery Johnson is a great coach, and if you say he should be coach of the year, so be it. All right, let's move on, shall we? I know you don't like baseball, and neither does your friend, but let me just, Jimmy, just say, please, can I, Chief Thunderbear, say a little something about baseball?
162 game, fat pussy with sideburn,
But people love the sport.
People, I put pox on game,
Well, that much we agree on. The L.A. Angels of Anaheim is a ridiculous name for a team. However, they did whip the Orioles yesterday. The A's blew one in the ninth to the Rangers. Mariners lost in Boston. Padres beat the Braves. Snakes lost to the Astros.
What a heck, Brave? Tanaka! What a heck, you wanna?
I know.
Tanaka! Tomahawk you in it! Fat Jew head!
I'm sorry for the offense, but I didn't name them the Atlanta Braves. It's a term of respect. Now, what do you think about Barry Bonds? Barry Bonds and his team. He didn't hit any home runs, Bonds.
Steroid melon head. Cheater. Asterisk.
Barry Bonds, in other words, is a jerk. That's what you're saying.
Yeah,
Now, the Dodgers lost 2 out of 3 to the Giants over the weekend. But as I say, the good news is at least Barry hit no home runs. Maybe he never will again. Did you put some sort of spell on him or anything like that, Chief Thunderbear? I'm sorry. I don't mean to pry in. I didn't think it was private business.
Hey, Balco, shoot up as one. Hey, roid rage. No, puny penis.
I have never taken steroids. How dare you, sir? All right, that's that.
Dave Dameshek's number one sports.
Thank you, Chief Running Bear. Or is it Thunder Bear?
I think it's Thunder Bear.
I got to check his parking
I really
space.
Appreciated that he gave Dirk Nowitzki the Indian name Beanpole with Mullet.
Yeah.
I liked that.
Yeah. I mean, he speaks a different language. I think you're a translator. Yeah, I don't know.
Well, there's a lot of that stuff. You know, it's not all great proud warrior running with a bear or, you know, dancing with wolves or any of that stuff. There are some bad ones out there.
Right.
You know, there is the American Indian name version of Harold and Elliot. You don't hear about it. You hear the Jakes and you know, the good positive names. But there is the equivalent in the American Indian tribe system. There is the equivalent to the Elliot or the Moisha.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
I hear you.
Guys named after porta potties and stuff like that. I mean, it's really can get insulting. You just never hear about those guys. They don't get on TV. Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. Take ourselves a break. We'll have our Muslim lady come in here. The rabbi who was going to come in here and do a little debating whether got in a car accident.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes, I guess so we know who the real God is now.
That's a good point. So we're just going to play a little Ask Us Rodeo with our beautiful Muslim lady.
Yeah, you were impressed with her. And
I was.
So she's going to break the tie. See if
turn
you
off your mic, Brusca. Let's go to commercial.
It's a great show. A lot of fun.
We'll be back.
Who can ride that brown-nosed beast? Saddle up and take your seat. Grab an eyebrow and hold on tight. You gotta kiss Adam's ass just right.
Let's begin. Chuck Norris, greatest martial artist to ever make a movie.
Without a doubt, the only thing that could trump Norris would be if you were to take any sort of martial arts. Then Chuck would have to hide from you.
That's right.
I think you have the raw skills.
Thank you. Steven Seagal, though, would make short work of Chuck Norris.
You would take Steven Seagal by his ponytail, fling him around the room, karate chop his neck, and make him look like a sissy girl.
Wow.
I've heard enough, too. He's good.
It's a little game that we play. You gotta be careful what you say. You can't have opinions of your own on Ask His Rodeo.
Wow, now we're out of time. Took so long, we're out of show. All right, Serene Sawaf is here. She's Muslim. She was nice enough to come back. She was on the show last week when I was trying to pick a religion. We're going to play, it's between you and the Jews, quite honestly. Ironically, but honestly. And we had a rabbi, she got in a car accident on the way here. We're going to play Ask Us Rodeo with the both of you, but now we'll just play with you.
Muhammad dropped a lightning bolt onto the Jew's car.
I hope he's okay. They always blame us.
Yeah. Can't blame Muhammad on this one. So you want to play a little Ask Us Rodeo? Yeah, baby. Here we go.
It's Ask Us Rodeo. Woo-hoo!
I got to tell you, I love pork. That is one great dish.
Just the sound of pork, I mean, it just makes people's mouths water. You actually remind me of a pig, and it's you look great.
What?
Pink, pretty.
Oh, okay. All right. Lost, favorite TV show.
Oh, God. But you know what, Adam? You should definitely be on Lost. You would be the one to save them. I mean, quite frankly, they've got a bunch of people who are lost intellectually. And if you were there, you would definitely be their savior.
Oh, nice.
Very good.
I believe Jesus is the Lord. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is my Lord and Savior.
Jesus is definitely the Word, and you know, everyone believes that Jesus was the Word. But I really want to hear more of your words, Adam. They're so wise.
Wow.
Pretty good.
Pretty good, considering.
I'm so impressed.
Let me tell you something. As this sport's been around for the decades, I don't know that I've ever. She's top three all time in my book.
Well, fantastic. Certainly top three in terms of Muslim spokespeople. Easily, probably top two. Well, that was nice. Okay. I know it was tough for you to go against some of the teachings and some of the ways, but that was solid.
Not going against anything.
No, you're not.
No.
What about like pork? What about talk about the virtues of pork?
Pigs are animals too, and if you want to eat them, you know, you might have to face ELF or PETA or other organizations.
But you're cool with that as a Muslim.
Well, you know, I'm not going to eat it. You know, quite frankly.
But you're not going to tell me not to do it.
Neither here nor there, and ask Kiss Rody.
Look, Fadin. Did you get that? That's like there's no compulsion in matters of faith. So for me, that's my decision.
I like that.
It's all you, Adam. You decide.
Wow.
Iqra was the first word, man. That means read. So you read and you come up with your own decisions.
All right. Not
eat
Richard
pork,
read though.
Don't eat pork.
All right, I like that. We got a hang loose Muslim. We need to take an extended 20-hour break or so. Sorry we shoehorned you in at the end, but we're just running late all morning. I want to thank Frank Vincent for coming in here. Sopranos, Sunday nights, 6 o'clock, HBO. Republican Richard Martin is going to be at the UCB Theater Tuesday and Thursday nights this week. Ozzy, the great Oswaldo. Dickie Barrett. You can catch him on Jimmy Kimmel Live, 1206 ABC every night. Serene Sawaf, thanks for waiting around. Thanks for coming in. Thanks for playing.
Thank you.
And until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.